The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to East Bay Raceway Park. We are live with Real Racing USA from East Bay. It is Crate Late Model Week. We've got the Nesmith Crate Late Models in the house, plus the Mod Lights. Mod Lights, the 1,000cc tiny rocket ships. They look like modifieds from New York, but they're scaled down. It's like 136 scale model or something. Pretty cool, Mod Light racers. A couple of those guys going to come sit with us. We're going to have some of the local racers in the Crate Late Models come by and talk to us tonight. And Jack and Rick
sitting
here
with me.
Well, you guys were busy. I didn't know how much
What's
you wanted
his
to...
name?
Welcome, Jack Smith.
So okay.
And Rick Angies.
Thank you.
Okay, go back to doing what you were doing.
Okay, go back.
Okay,
to
Bill, go ahead and continue with the show. You're doing fine, man.
It's okay. I realize I have to help out as best I can. Anyway, we're gonna get to talk to Keith Nosbitch tonight, the Undertaker, no longer the seafood joint. No, no longer the catfish. He is now the Undertaker. He takes care of them under.
Lord.
He goes under them. The Undertaker. I thought it'd be nicer. He'd like go to a black car.
You can't change your name.
Lightning. Sure he can. Trust me, if you've talked to his wife, we're changing that name.
Okay.
Anyway, Keith Nosbitch will talk to us. Kenny Nosbitch is back in action. He's got a car out. Now, he's not driving any longer, but he is owning the car. So he's going to come by and talk to us also, along with, I think, Rookie of the Year, wasn't he? Josh Peacock, Rookie of the Year for the United Dirt Late Model Series. And
United Dirt Late Model Challenge.
Challenge Series, sorry. That's why you do that.
There are copyright issues and other trademark issues at work here, Bill, that
United Dirt
Mr.
Late Model
Ken
Series
Kenny
somewhere
would
is?
Not okay. be appreciative okay. of
no not, problem.
Not doing it right.
Hey, I see Mr. Haynes made it. Got his Harley-Davidson jacket on. Talk also to, I talked about the Nesmith program, Rodney
Tapley.
You did end
up with the crappy.
I'm sorry?
You did end up with the crappy microphone.
Oh, I did? Did it crick already?
No, you're doing fine.
I'll put some tape on it here a minute. Well, we got a couple of guys that came out of Indianapolis, Indiana to run the Mod Light Show. One of them named Tim Von Gunny, and he's sponsored by Lube Masters Incorporated, the full-service oil change folks up there. We'll give them a plug in case they
you
have
You know
to
what
listening.
The best thing
he
is,
He was on the
Rick,
phone right away.
Who sponsors us, though, Bill?
Fastlane Collectibles, the folks that do the sports authority, so to speak, in East Bay Raceway Park apparel and collectibles, anything racing. They got some really cool cups out there. I saw the Cooley Cups, the lids for your beer. You put the beer in the Cooley Cup. It's got a handle on it, and it has a lid that closes over it to keep the mud out. How cool is that? So we'll get a chance
necessity
to do
here in East Bay Raceway
a lot
Park.
Of that stuff. I don't know. I'm getting fingers pointed. I'm not sure what I'm looking at. Somebody's giving me a high five, and I don't know.
They're pointing
eat
fingers
more
at you?
Strawberries. Something. Anyway, looking forward to it. Jack, after this show now, this is one of our two Winter National specials. We'll be doing once a month up here. And what can the folks look forward to? What kind of topics will we cover? What kind of things are we going to do?
Rick, will you answer that question for me, please?
Well, okay, Rick, would you tell me?
Anything to do with racing, Bill.
That's what I was looking for. But I wanted everybody to understand, though, we're not going to just focus on dirt racing, even though that's where we're at, dirt track, and you're a dirt announcer and so forth. We'll do a lot of that. But we want to talk to asphalt racers. We want to talk to racers of all kinds.
Boat racers.
Boat racers. Oh, that'd be
boat
cool.
Boat racers.
We used to have fun with that.
Motorcycle racers.
St. Pete Grand Prix racers.
St. Pete Grand Prix racers.
Have they actually scheduled that thing yet? I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
it's going to be on a rainy day.
It's going to be on a rainy day in April.
Well, I imagine that's not too far off base for what will happen. But hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to a lot of folks from a lot of different genres, a lot of different racing folks. And
so besides the folks over at Fast Lane Collectibles, the Sports Authority.
Yeah, Fast Lane's
other than
the folks
that,
got us here.
Other than that, I have to say, the best thing about East Bay so far today has been the food at the Hall of Fame Cafe.
No doubt about it.
Did you notice
that? Poor Bill, he missed out.
Well, we had him working.
That's okay. I'll get
as we should have.
And we got the attributes.
But Did you see a difference from last year's concessions to this year's?
Yes.
Because there has been a major change there, and it seems to everybody seems to be responding well to it. Of course, everybody wants more variety of stuff and so forth, but there's only so many things you can do, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to the fine folks who do the concessions here and find out the ins and outs and the ups and downs of doing it from a speedway where you work once a week or once or twice or three times a month.
1 week from tomorrow, Bill. Rick, are you going to come up and join us at Ocala Speedway next Friday?
Next Friday? I possibly could. I don't know what I'm on my schedule.
Yeah, you could come up and hang out. You could get a go-kart and run around.
Don't laugh. I'm tomorrow morning, I got a rather good deal going. I'm going to get a trailer, I think, and maybe a golf cart also.
Oh, good. Okay, because next Friday, a week from tomorrow, the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series premieres its 2009 season beginnings at Ocala.
And that'll be live on the Internet.
Live on the Internet.
Right here. You hear it?
One of many, many, right many shows we do live this year from around the state of Florida and Georgia and Alabama.
Now, I know that some folks that are regulars out there on the Internet, especially around Florida,
pity them,
listened to and saw some of the information we were passing about the Figure Eight World Championships. And then we got a story out on Friday, I know, about the Figure Eight Championships because I did it, and I got a chance to sit down and talk to our young friend Michael Cherry. He was doing Figure Eight racing, diversity driver from NASCAR. And then we actually, the rain or something knocked that out on Sunday.
Hey, Rick, he said the D word.
That was a nice story on diversity. Where was the story on the figure eight race?
I know. I kind of got sidetracked. I realized that when I saw it. But
that was interesting.
It was too late. It was like 2 in the morning. I was too tired to go back and start over. But the racing, they had one problem. That was Eddie Van Meter. He got to be a pain in the butt, I guess. But he was
upset.
The
real
problem. They wanted to kick out Rockin' Rodney Davis?
Rodney Davis,
oh, Rodney
for
Davis
God's
is
sake.
Always in trouble. He got out, threw his helmet, and all kinds of things. It was funny.
He's the show.
But Van Meter pulled up on the front stretch at the end of the race, and he was told by the scoring he was a lap down and not to be there. Well, he was upset. Well, I see that they actually paid him third place. So somebody gave in.
And he got the championship.
In the end, he got the championship because they wouldn't run it a third day. They didn't want to see poor Van Meter lose it to the up-and-coming NASCAR diversity program star, Michael Cherry, because he was second in the points. NASCAR diversity program.
NASCAR diversity. I'm going to add another rule to our deal here. But
what's that?
Nothing. I'll tell you later.
Don't say the word NASCAR anymore?
NASCAR's okay.
Oh, okay.
You watch that boring-ass Daytona 500?
Well, it was okay right up until the very end when it just kind of stopped anticlimactically.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that they pulled them all off and did a red, and 18 minutes later, they go, okay, we're calling a show.
Yeah, we're done.
I mean, I've sat there for six
right before
hours
they went
during
to
the summertime in the rain.
Right before they went to the commercial, the guys who were announcing the race said, well, we're going to sit it out here because NASCAR says they're going to do the race.
Well, by the time they got back, it was already.
Well, Matt Kenseth wins the race.
How crazy was that?
Yeah. Of course,
well,
we all know
what,
that's the best part of the race is that last 18 laps.
Who we want first, guys? We got people walking in ready to go. All right, get them over here.
You're in charge, Bill.
You're in charge, Bill. Well,
I had nothing to do with what you're pointing at.
The folks from the Hall of Fame Cafe over here.
Hall of Fame Cafe. Where are they at? Come on. Who's going to be the spokesperson for the Hall of Fame Cafe concessions?
They're hiding.
They're hiding.
Get your boss.
Yeah, we need your boss over here.
We need your bosses.
Get your boss now.
We have a complaint.
Hurry.
No, we don't have a complaint.
No, your bosses.
Your bosses.
Your bosses.
It takes two.
The boat of them.
Get
okay.
The entire.
Get somebody else, Bill. Well, that's a
well,
nice
stand right here in front of me.
You got there, man.
I know. Like that
wrapping
for Christmas.
Wrapping paper.
From Christmas. They got Christmas armbands.
Sweet.
No. Sit. Another chair should have been right there. Just turn one around. Just turn one around. That's why all the microphones are laying here.
There's one. There's a chair.
No, yeah, it's okay. He's from Nesmith. Just turn one around. Didn't quite connect there.
Neesmith. Neesmith.
I know. I always do it Nez. I like Nesmith instead of Neesmith.
That was Smith. The monkeys, Bill. That was the monkeys.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah, Michael.
That was one of my
favorites.
All
right, Bill, go ahead. Take over.
All right. Well, I know Rodney Tapley from Neesmith Chevrolet, folks. Pick that one up and just make sure the button's on, up, pushed up. And then I'm not sure. Identify yourself because I don't know who anybody is.
Mindy.
No, you got to get that real close.
Mindy.
Mindy from?
Actually, I'm from Indianapolis, but I'm residing in the winter months down here in Florida.
Okay, put it right up there. Now, you guys just come down to do the Winter Nationals?
Yeah, we come up here to work the Winter Nationals this year.
Okay, but the folks who took over, there's a new entity in place back here.
Yeah, we have new owners here at
your
the cafe.
Your bosses are behind you giving you dirty looks.
This is Becky and Les Long.
Oh, Becky made it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to let Becky take over?
Oh, you betcha.
Okay. Quick change out. Becky's going to sit down and talk to us. Hi, Becky. We're trying to find out, what is the name of the entity that runs it? You have a business name, I guess, or something?
Yeah, USA Concessions.
Oh, great. Now, we've got the walkie one here. Go ahead, we'll try again.
Try that one more time.
It's USA Concessions.
USA Concessions.
Yes.
Okay. Do you do any other tracks, or are you just here?
No other tracks. We did Lakeland Motor Speedway until it closed down. But when we end up getting this track?
Got to turn her up a little, Jack. I was just trying to find out if you guys did any others, because I imagine you're going to get some requests to do others when they start eating here.
Absolutely.
When people start eating here.
It's the best food you can get at any track.
Yeah, it's been
Jack and I got to have a sample a little while ago, and I'll tell you, I agree with you 100%.
I was out busy getting people for the show.
You missed it, Bill. You missed it.
Anyway,
try the shortcake.
That's right. Try the shortcake. There he goes. Now, Rodney, let's get you in here real quick, because I know you get busy and you got to get back. Make sure you put that thing up real close. But the Neesmith Chevrolet folks have been into late model racing for how long now?
We've actually been in it about 3 years, heavy, and signed on as a title sponsor about 2 years ago.
And that's for what they call the Crate Late Model Program.
Crate Late Model Program. We sell engines and transmissions, mostly for passenger cars. But, you know, this racing was a little bit of a sideline, and we've picked it up and started running with it, and it's worked out real well for us.
Now, do you get at the beginning of a season, I would think, okay, there's a bunch of motors ordered, but then during the year there's only a few trickle in, or is it kind of stay steady all the way through?
It doesn't. At the first of the season, it's a little bit better. New people are getting into it. But at the end of the season, it kind of tapers off a little bit, so a little more level. Right now, we are selling, I'll give you a for instance. We sold 637 engines and transmissions this past month.
637? 637. That's a bunch of racing.
We can deliver in 6 states next day.
Wow.
How many of your engines are racing in other series across country?
It's all over the place. We sold 28 to a guy in Michigan this week, this past few weeks, and he's hired some guys to start a northern series. So we're expanding.
Wow, that must be nice. You buy the engines, give them to them. Of course they're going to go racing for you.
No, these guys have signed a contract to race 10 races at this racetrack. Their name... namely guys, everybody knows them, they know who they are, they're going to put a crate engine in their cars and race at the Michigan track.
Okay, you're the first guy that's kind of trickled on the edge there, and I'm going to ask you straight up, talk to me about crate wars, the things that are going on with the late models getting diversified and everybody starting their own because they're pissed off about another one. How do we get that kind of smoothed out and slowed down?
Well, really, it's how you control it. Mike Vaughn with our series does a real good job. He hires the right people. They control it, and they go to the weekly series and make sure that nobody's cheating. And they're sealed engines, but they can be cheated up if you'll try it, and a racer will try anything. So.
Now, how are you avoiding that from happening?
Well, we have pre-race inspection, and we make sure that the cars are what they say they are. They have the GM-sealed bolts in them, or either our seals. After the race, if we see a car that's, it don't matter where he finishes in line. If he finishes 15th, he can still be torn down. It's in the rule book. So
you have an option to pick it. If somebody starts dead last.
Is the tear down done at the track itself?
The tear down is done directly after the race. They have some stuff where they don't have to tear down immediately. They can do some checks with a cam doctor and stuff that'll show them some stuff before they ever take the engine slap apart.
Right.
So most of the time, we don't tear completely down.
Well, that's cool, and I know the guys appreciate that and the racers. But It just seems that I realize that, see, you guys travel quite a distance. I mean, your series goes...
We do.
I mean, you guys have races in Wisconsin even, I think, and so forth. So you come up and down the seaboard pretty much. And then there's other series that are more local and more, you know,
they
Florida,
are. There's
Georgia,
some weekly series.
North Carolina,
there's
Virginia.
Some weekly series, and that's where we're finding a little bit of the problems. So we got a guy that we've hired that he goes around and he runs it, goes to weekly tracks. And he may just show up and buy a ticket and sit in the stands. Well, after the race, he belongs to our organization. He has the right to go into the pit area and tear down any car he'd like to tear down.
Cool. So you just kind of sneak up on him.
Whatever it takes.
Guy started last in a class of 24 and five laps he was leading. Then you're talking to this guy to see what's going on.
That's right.
That's cool. Well, we appreciate it. We know that you got lots of things to do in the pits and stuff, so we don't want to hold you up too long.
No. Nope.
But if anybody wants to talk to you guys, I take it these numbers are the numbers to call, kind
that
of thing?
That is the 877-397.
877. I got 497.
497-3624.
There you go.
497-3624.
You can talk to anybody at our dealership.
And I take it that next day delivery in six states means that they go to a local Chevy dealer and pick it up.
They can also buy them at a local Chevy dealer. Most of our customers are local Chevy dealers in those six states. Or they can call us directly and we'll deliver it next morning to their residence.
Awesome job. Awesome job. Well, thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Got any other question for you?
No, that's right? Good. Man.
Okay. I didn't want to lose him. I know he's got business to take care of. Thanks so much. We'll get a chance to talk to some of our racers. While we're transferring over, we will talk some more about the great improvement in concessions. Can somebody get me an iced tea? Can I have an iced
Absolutely.
Tea? Because I got to pay somebody an iced tea. I promised him an iced tea when he came in the room. So I see Keith Nosbitt over there promising an iced tea, so I'm going to get him an iced tea. Anyway, the whole idea, you guys have been doing concessions other places before you took on this?
Yeah? Oh, yeah. We've done a lot of concession work. We've been in it for like 8 years now. We've gone from here, there, and everywhere, and we finally decided to settle in Florida and, you know, keep it close by instead of traveling.
With your travels, what were you traveling for? Were you with one of the fairs or carnivals?
No.
We didn't do it. Strictly events. Tons of car shows. Did Sebring every year.
There you go.
You know, Sebring was a real, real good place to do. Also,
listen to yourself. You'll hear it be a little low. You got to get it up there.
Also, like Becky said, the racetrack in Lakeland. It was just a great place. Barry and those guys were wonderful. Would you stop pushing that?
You got to remember to take it with you. That's all.
She's got an ear for radio.
Anyway, right. They closed Lakeland, and Todd and Al had conversation
they close it,
with
they
us.
They destroyed it.
Yeah.
I know they did.
They
what a shame.
We drove by there, and the guys are going, look, it's nothing but the elevator shaft.
That's all that was left. That's right. That's all that's left.
God.
I understand the track is still there, though.
Yeah, the track is still there.
Somebody could go
grass
back.
Grass growing up through it and stuff, but... What got you guys here at East Bay?
Al and Todd met us, you know, when they closed Lakeland down through Barry and Billy. And basically reputation, food quality, cleanliness. And they had conversation with us about coming over here. So they're great guys to work with.
Oh, absolutely.
Al and Todd are just
absolutely
wonderful guys.
I got to ask you, though, this being considered a restaurant, are you subject to the laws and...
Things here
in the county of Pinellas County?
Absolutely.
So they come out and look every
Health
once in a while?
Health department. Absolutely.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
People like to know that you're inspected.
Right.
Definitely inspected, well looked at, and, you know, we've never had a bad report out of the Health department
never.
In the 8 years that we've been doing this.
See, she's already learned the Bubba style. She's got it off. Laid up against her cheek.
No, anytime anybody, to include the concession trailer down in the pits, anybody wants to walk in, they can walk through our kitchen anytime they want and look at anything. You know, it's good food in a clean kitchen. That's
now, I know
key.
You're just getting started, but I take it there will be this effort. Normally, you get started with the hamburgers, the hot dogs, and the chicken kind of stuff. But then do you try to expand, find that one thing that will work in this area, maybe boiled shrimp or whatever, and do something different?
I think we've been doing it long enough, though. Our menu pretty much works.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about seafood. Seafood is, you know, it's an iffy situation because, you know, when you use a deep fryer for seafood, it stays seafood.
Okay.
Because if you try to cook anything else in it, it's going to taste like seafood.
Oh, no. I didn't mean to get on seafood then.
Yeah,
but some
you know
other
what I'm
thing
saying?
That might
we
go
do,
over well.
You know, we do our
roast
specials.
Roast beef sandwiches or something.
Yeah,
know,
we do
whatever.
Our specials, which is spaghetti and meatballs. And, you know, like this Friday, we're going to have a meatloaf with homemade macaroni and cheese.
She can't get away from a meatloaf.
Yeah, well, that's
for the whole month, meatloaf.
So, you know, I'm going to do the homemade macaroni and cheese with the meatloaf and, you know, the sides and all that. So.
Yeah, but you can do meatloaf as a dinner, meatloaf as an open-faced sandwich,
yeah,
meatloaf
exactly.
as a sandwich. I mean, there's
all
kinds of
you're good at this.
Yeah.
He's got this figured out, this restaurant.
Bill is better with meatloaf than Bubba was with
shrimp. Well, I'm a card-carrying member of the concession stand.
Hey, and we're always open, just like the strawberry shortcake thing. This strawberry shortcake thing was new to us.
Was it?
And we said the people
yeah.
love strawberry shortcake here.
Right.
And Todd told us you cannot get enough berries. So, and he was right. They do.
Oh, yeah.
But if somebody comes to us with an idea, something they'd like to see, we'll put it on the menu. We'll give it a try.
So what has it been like for the Nationals here?
Oh.
You know, the drivers, it's been really a lot of compliments. You know, they know when they walk in here that there's been a big change as far as cleanliness goes. That once they eat, and you guys can be honest. I mean, you just ate.
It was great.
I mean,
it was fantastic.
They love our burgers. Mm-hmm. I mean, our burgers speak for themselves. They just love them. So.
Right. And my wife works in the tower, and she gets one of those tickets.
Uh-huh.
I sound like I'm underwater. But anyway.
My mic sounds good. I got the hang of this now.
Okay. Anyway,
right.
It's electronic feedback from God. He listens into. We don't understand. Sometimes she gets French fries and stuff because it's on her meal ticket.
Uh-huh.
And she says that you guys must use a different oil than most folks because they taste really good, but different. They're not like a McDonald's oil or whoever.
You know it's what the key is?
No.
Clean oil.
Oh, that's probably
you got to change the oil.
That's it.
And we change it like every other day. We change the oil.
Oh, that's good. Are you in a recycling system where
nope.
those people come pick it up for
well,
you?
Well, yeah, they come
oh,
pick
yeah.
it up.
Yeah, waste oil.
I have stock in one of those, so please don't stop. but that's cool, and we look forward to it because I mean I know that there's a lot of things that will get massaged along the way because every once in a while, you know, 5 or 6 years go by and suddenly you change from Pepsi to Coke or you change from Miller to Bud or whatever
right.
happens. But it's pretty cool that things are really looking good and the place looks great. You guys came in, painted, you did some.
Oh
other
yeah.
Oh yeah, it looks outstanding.
Yeah,
so
I
we
mean,
appreciate it.
We went from a blue wall to a flag wall.
Yeah. There you,
you
go.
Know, it was the first
everywhere.
Thought. So.
Well, we appreciate you doing that. Just
if you
for
notice,
our show
we put this table here for you guys too.
Yeah,
we put
absolutely.
This here for you.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for you, we know where this table came from because we used it by the train. Thanks so much, though. We appreciate it, guys.
All right, thank you very much.
And we'll
come
be looking
down,
forward to working with you guys once a month up
thank
here.
You. That's
right. We're doing Real Race in USA.
Thanks much.
He's starting to sound like that flower feed.
Jack, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
With Keith Nosbitch.
Your online racing community since 1997. Carnate.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnate.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnate gets it done.
Microphone's not ready, though.
Hey.
We're back here from the Real Racing USA, live at the Hall of Fame Cafe. Bill, we got a couple guests with us here. Go ahead and introduce
it's
them.
The man, I'm not even going to say the word, but he's no longer the...
That.
He's yeah. not that anymore.
He's not that
not the ad anymore.
Anymore.
He's the Undertaker now, I guess. Keith Nosbitch, he's always been a great guy. Had a lot of fun with him, but man, you got a ferocious little lady that lives with you.
Oh yeah, she's a little ornery, but
you got to keep that real close.
We changed my nickname to the Killer this year.
The Killer,
oh, the Killer.
Is that
what
Grim
it
Reaper
is?
On there, so I figured, you know,
Grim Reaper Killer, I like it.
So that's
the Killer
than that name.
I thought
you
like that better than
the
Undertaker.
Yeah, I thought your car would look really good, solid black, you know, glossy black like Dale Earnhardt had, but with those lightning bolt things in it. Be kind of cool.
Yeah, we need something like that.
Something different. And sitting across from him, one of the youngest, I don't know if you're the youngest racer out here, but you're one of the younger ones, Mr. Travis Varnador. Travis, how is it, man? How's the late model series and stuff treating you?
I guess it's all right. I ain't doing that great, but hopefully we'll get a little better through the years. Well, I know that there's a big difference between the experience that Keith Nosnitz would have and the experience the Travis Fargo would have, but both of you, side by side, it still looks a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm glad to be racing with Travis and all the young guys out there because, you know, I'm 52 years old. I haven't got a couple more years left, and I'm going to retire and, you know, do something else. But just to still be around and watch these young guys come up and racing, and Travis got a lot of talent, and I watched him last week, and he looked like he was doing a real good job. So,
well, now you've been starting to think that way, that you might retire soon. So I've seen you've been helping out and giving back a little more to some of the guys, the new guys especially, that have come along to help out. So what kind of things do you think you'll do when you do stop driving? Will you keep the car and put somebody else in it, or will you just work with the young guys on their team, or what kind of things are you looking to do?
Well, you know, I've got a deal with Bubba the Love Sponge. He drives that car for me once in a while. In fact, that's the car we're running this weekend. And as long as he wants to keep racing, I'll keep a car for him. As far as me racing all the time, probably not after this year, not as much. I'll probably, you know, slow down. I did for a couple of years. I didn't really get that involved, and I kind of stepped back for like 2 or 3 years and sold everything I had. And then I got my younger brother's car and ran this great stuff that first year, and we ended up winning 2 out of 3 nights. And I go, well, maybe I still got something left. So I bought some stuff the next year and came back and did some more.
Well, you ran with the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series last year. You did fairly well at the beginning of the season, but there towards the end of the season, you really came alive, and it looked like something had changed there towards the end of the season.
Well, you know, we were running that Dodge motor, and we had some issues with trying to get the motor to operate right. You know, it had a lot of wheel spin, and we finally got the gearing right in the car, and, you know, we got that figured out, and we should have won 2 or 3 of the last 4. We broke a lifter that last night and went from first to finishing like 8th, and that dropped us from, you know, around the 2nd in the points to like 4th. And we won that $7,000, the biggest pay in races down there at New Henry the week before. And the week before that, I think we were in Volusia and we set fast time. And
right.
We should have won that deal, but we missed in tires a little bit.
Right. Now, that race, well, let's go back to that race in Henry County. Now, that had to be probably one of the roughest races. I remember when I interviewed you in the Winner's Circle, you felt like your kidneys had fallen out of your back.
That was a rough racetrack. I mean, I don't know what happened, and I heard Kenny bought that place now, and he's going to bring us some different clay, and that should smoothen out. If they get rid of the roughness, that'll be a nice racetrack. It'd be fun to race on, just like East Bay. East Bay's, you know, one of the raciest tracks we'll probably go to in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And to race all these years and had that advantage of coming to a racetrack that's that fast and you could run 2 and 3 abreast, when you go to these other racetracks and they're single lane, and them guys all just fall in line. I've been in these places and got on the outside and went by half the field in 5 laps. And that's what helps you when you go other places.
And probably one of the, I don't know how you describe it, but Waycross. Now, that's an animal all its own, man. That was probably one of the craziest races we had all year up there. How many times have you raced up there?
I raced there one other time. I think we'll have a Tampa deal. And, you know, we didn't qualify bad. I think we ran 2nd in the heat, but we came to 3rd or 4th in the feature, and we was probably the fastest car on the racetrack at the end of that deal. Finally got the hang of it. I mean, that place was hard to drive, and it was fast.
I tell you, when I got there, I've been to plenty of dirt tracks. I've never seen a dirt track where they get the blower off and they're blowing the track off. And the surface of that place is just unreal up there. Sean Smith told me that going down the backstretch, he said he'd stand on the brakes and the car started going faster.
Yeah, that when you come off a 2 at that place, it was a little dark, and you better be pointing the right direction. I seen guys blow a right rear tire there and just rip the whole deck, quarter panel, door, everything right off the car.
Yeah, it's a crazy place.
Well, I know that a lot of things have been happening good for you, but one thing that's always been going on well in your life, and that has been Adams Auto Parts. And those are the reasons that you get to go race and stuff. But a lot of people don't realize. They think that Keith Nosbitt raced for a living. And I know different. So it's kind of fun when you tell people, no, man, he works a 35, 40-hour week at the, you know, at the auto parts place also at times to make sure the ends meet. How's that going? It seems like it's one of the best in the business around here, I believe.
Well, yeah, we've had Adams Auto Parts for 30 years, ever since I came to Florida. And it's been real successful, and that's paid for our racing, except for, you know, through the years, I've earned just about enough to keep going every month and every year. So I'm proud of that, that I won enough races that I paid my own way. So that's good. But Adam's been around for a long time.
Now, the other thing I heard you say was you might cut back on the number of races you do. So if you're going to cut back on the races you do, are you going to wind up just looking for the $5,000 to $10,000 races?
No, I'm pretty much going to run the tracks that I like, that I enjoy, that you can race, like Volusia, like East Bay. I really like Lake City, and not so much the pavement race I really didn't like. Waycross was okay, but if you get in trouble there, you're in trouble. I mean, it's going to cost you money.
Yeah.
And I like Brunswick. I like Brunswick, Golden Isles. That place was fast, and you could race on it. And that's what you look for when you're a racer, is places you can go. And if you have a bad qualifier or you have a bad heat race, you can start in the back, and you can at least make enough money to get yourself back home.
Well, one of the important things probably about, you know, especially dirt late model racing is track preparation, is the way they prepare the track. And I tell you, Frankie and them guys up there, they prepare a track.
Well, they got a lot of equipment,
right?
And that makes a place a lot easier to get ready. I mean, if it rains or
we had that one rainstorm that blew through.
Yeah.
I could not believe that they got that track so fast and so good that night.
I figured that would have been a Sunday race, but
that was a done deal. I thought
it was, but he got it in, and you know,
Keith, it was a Sunday race.
It actually was.
Well, yeah, it started at like 2 a.m. It wasn't, okay. But we Sunday after. I say daytime show.
I know it's a risk. Yeah.
You've been racing long enough. Some of the older tracks. Did you get a chance to race like a Plant Field or a Minnesota or any of those things that were back in your young days?
I never actually. I didn't start racing until 78. And it was
so
here at East Bay, and I was looking at that sign there. It said Thunder Cars. That's what I started with. And I drove them for, I think, 2 years and then went right to late models. And then during my career, I drove everything in between, you know, Outlaws, late models, and the Super Sixes for George Liller.
Did you ever try a sprint car?
Yeah, I got in one and practiced it, but I never actually drove it. They threw me out after about 10 laps.
Keith Nodsbridge, ladies and gentlemen, one of the, I don't know, I like to call him a great ambassador for the racing because, I mean, you do a great job, I think, when you talk to people about racing, helping the youngsters out, helping the middle. We get a lot of youngsters in racing, but we get a lot of guys who decide that, hey, I'm 40 and I want to go racing, and so here they come. And so you got to help those guys out too.
Yeah, it was like when I came down, when I kind of retired there and I sold all my stuff, and I just came down to a practice session with my brother Jack Jr., and I got in his car and made a couple laps. Well, Ted Erskine, I was talking to him, and he says, well, what about my car? And I says, well, what I can see, he was spinning out every night. And I says, what I can see is your car's way too free. He said, well, get in and drive it. So I went in, and I drove it, and I come in. I told him what I thought was wrong. I told him to fix it. And then he did them things. I went back out, and the car was real good. So he said, well, why don't you come Saturday night and race it? Because that was on a Thursday. I said, well, yeah, I got nothing else to do. I'm sitting here with no car, and I was just going to come help my brother. So I came down, I ended up winning the feature, and then that Monday morning I got fired. So, but, you know, it goes both ways when you help somebody.
Making
them
look bad.
You get them good, then, you know, they don't need you no more.
Well, it's claimed that you've got over 500 feature wins. How many you think, how close is that?
Well, that's probably on the bottom end. I mean, when I was racing 3 and 4 nights a year or a week,
right,
back in the mid-80s to 90s, I won an average of 45 to 50 races a year. So you do the math there, and then I went on a streak from that point on, like in 1990 to almost 2000, I'd win 21 to 24 features a year. 1 year I won 26 races here and finished second in the points, if that tells you anything. The other four races that they ran, I went out of town and raced
for
more money.
Who beat you in the points that year?
I think it was DeCare, Terry
DeCare. Wow. Well, I tell you what, man, it's been an awesome, awesome career. I'm sorry to hear it might come to an end pretty soon, but hopefully we'll get to watch these next 2 or 3, 5 years, whatever it is, and enjoy some more Keith Nodsbridge racing, man, because it's been awesome, cool to do.
Yeah, I want to thank all you guys for all the support you've given to me, and, you know, I've never heard a bad word that anybody said that, you know, that I did something wrong. I've made mistakes just like everybody else, and I've been aggressive, and sometimes I haven't been aggressive enough. It's like my wife tells me here lately, you know, last year, the beginning of the year, she says, the reason you're running fourth and fifth is you're lagging on the restarts. So I watched some tapes, and here I am a car and a half behind on a restart, and I picked that up. And you know, but people point out things to you, and if you listen, more than likely it's going to help you. If you don't listen, more than likely it's not going to do anything for you.
Put that one in your bank.
Right? But Keith, you're associated with that guy Bubba the Love Sponge now, right?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Well, we're not going to say anything bad about you, man.
Well, yeah, he's
love Bubba.
He's on air, and he's got a big audience, and people either love him or they hate him, and he's been nothing but the greatest guy to me since I've been racing, and I've known him when he was racing sprint cars and stuff. So.
How's his kid doing? Still racing?
This kid's a good little racer. I mean, we might have to field a car for him if he gets old enough.
There you go. That'd be fun. Well, Keith, thank you, buddy. I know you got to get back to the pits. You got to take care of business. Keith Nosbitch, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you coming by, buddy.
Thanks a lot,
enjoy
Keith.
That iced tea.
Thank you.
All right. Travis Varnador, buddy. I didn't mean to put you on the side there, but he wanted to run. So I know you got a few people working on your car. What's it like coming into these big shows? You might want to use this because that one don't sound good either, but put it right up close
to your mouth.
And just make sure you talk loud. But what's it like to come in and race against guys, not only, I mean, these may not be your heroes, but they're guys you've watched race for a long time before you ever got in the car here, owning your parents being part owners in the track. But what's it like to be around the racing, and even when your dad was racing, you were at the track as a kid, seeing some of these people, and now you get to race against them?
Well, the main thing is I've learned a lot from them, just watching them. And I've been out here since I was little, watching everybody, watching my dad, and learning what they've done and been around the car. And now that I'm out here racing with them, I've learned all their good lines and just learning some of their driving techniques just by being behind them. So I've learned a lot just watching the older guys and stuff like that.
Well, I know that you guys have some great equipment and you've been working real hard at it. Well, what's the view of 2009? I mean, last year you did good. You were always mid-pack and sometimes getting top 10s, top 5s, and sneaking into a couple of wins and stuff. What's the thought process that you're going through? Is there a plan, or this is it, we're at late models, we're going to stay here, we're going to keep doing it and grinding it out, or do you have some other focus down the road to do?
Well, last year we ended up finishing second in the points, which was pretty good. We actually should have won it, but we fell out a couple of races we shouldn't have. And then this year we're hoping to travel just a little bit more, not really run for points here, and get some more experience on other tracks and run with some different guys and learn some of their ideas and stuff.
Well, that'd be good. Good. Broaden the horizons and stuff. Are you going to go out with the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series?
I'm not sure. We're probably just going to skip around track to track and just...
Up to Ocala and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, maybe some to Georgia and just wherever we can.
That'd be cool. What are some of the go ahead, Rick.
You got to race with some heavy hitters a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yes, sir. The Supers we ran, I learned a lot just driving a different car, driving with more power and everything. And that's something we hope we can do this summer and hit a couple of them races with the Southern Nationals and all, and maybe just learn some more with them.
I'll tell you what, those guys don't let up.
Tough competition.
That's got to be awesome, though, to go back and look and see that, hey, I may not have won one, but I ran with the World of Outlaws late models, man, and I was only, how old are you, 17?
Yes, sir.
That's what I thought. How cool is that?
What a great accomplishment that is.
I think I'd take that over some of the things I did when I was 17.
Yeah.
Have you raced anything else, go-karts or anything?
Yeah, I raced go-karts since I was like 8, right. And then 3 years ago or something, I got in an Outlaw 4, which is a mini stock.
Right.
And won a couple races in that, and then won a championship. Then we moved up to a late model in 07 and just been running that, just trying to stay consistent with that.
The cool thing about your family is they don't throw a race car away.
No.
I don't think you've ever sold one, have you?
Sold a couple.
Oh, did you? Because I know the mini stock, you may have gone through a few variations, but you still have a mini stock.
Yeah, Maverick's running it.
And so it kind of goes down to your brother. How's your brother doing?
He's been doing really good. He's staying consistent and keep learning and getting better and better.
We're speaking of Maverick Varnador, for those of you out there listening that can't see, you know, see what we're saying, so to speak.
Yeah.
But Maverick's been running that four-cylinder. Is he looking to, you know, he's kind of hoping brother moves up and does something else so he can have a late model?
Next year we're probably going to try to start him out. He's been practicing the late model a few times. He's been doing pretty good in it.
Wow.
So this year he's going to stick with the mini stock, and then next year we're going to move him up to the late model.
He's had to pick another number, though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Travis, we appreciate you taking time. We know you got to get back to your car, get ready for some practice and hot laps and qualifying coming up and everything for tonight's action. So good luck to yourself. Tell us about your sponsors, and we'll let you head on out.
I mainly need to thank my mom and dad because they've put so much into this racing and given up a lot and given me a lot. So I need to thank them and L. Miller and Associates Auto and Truck Repair. He's also helped me out a lot. So I think that's almost all I got.
Chamber signs or no?
Chamber signs. Yeah, he helps out.
You get back there, you hear about that one. All right, man. We appreciate it. Take care of yourself. Good luck tonight.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Good luck, Travis. I'm sure we'll talk to you again real soon this year, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take another short break here if we can get our producer to work on it. We got... Yeah. He's pointing. I'm pointing too. I'm pointing to two.
You know what? I'm on the phone here with Billy Osborne, who is the...
Billy Osborne, okay.
Yes.
Hi, Billy. Turn him on speaker. Talk to him.
He's actually the race director at both Ocala Speedway and...
put him on speaker. We can talk to him.
New Henry. No, he don't want to talk to you, Bill.
Oh, come on.
He don't like you, man.
We got Kenny Gross and Tim Von Gundy?
Van Gundy.
Van Gundy.
That's better than most people do, though.
I tried. Van Gundy. Sitting down with us. They are mod light racers. Is that what it's called across the country or just what we're using this week?
No, that's pretty much it. Mod lights, modified lights, mini mods. It's a lot of different things.
I know. We got all kinds of them. And we have a four-cylinder open-wheel class that are called mod lights.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of confusing.
So we're confusing people then.
Oh, yeah. Kenny Gross, let's see, from Danville, Indiana, flat track started racing sprints, modifieds, late models, dwarfs, modifieds, Craftsman truck in 1998 at Sonoma.
Yep.
Wow.
Right.
1998. No, I just left there because I was in the military and I retired in 93, but I used to be a part of the fire crew at the Sonoma track.
Did you?
Yeah, I worked for the...
No, that was 16 years ago, dude.
It's been a while. Let's see, Mr. Van Gundy is part of Lude Mapsters. Is that your business or just your sponsor?
No, it's my business and my sponsor.
Okay, so that's how you get here.
Right.
And he's from Indianapolis, Indiana, home of Tony Stewart and all those other.
Now, these are mod lights, is that what they're called?
Mod lights,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about the car and what makes it up.
Well, they're powered by a motorcycle engine, usually 1,200, 1,250 horsepower, or cc's, about 160 or 70 horsepower. Some people lie to you and tell you it's more than that, but weigh about 1,300 pounds. They're just a lot of fun, kind of twitchy to drive. You know, they're run a DOT tire, so it's just something you kind of have to keep underneath of you.
Kind of modeled after, like, Northern Modifieds, is that what?
Yeah, it's kind of like a down version of the old Modifieds that used to come out of the North.
Yeah, that's right.
So I just didn't know if that was a conscious effort I guess somebody made to just downsize one.
What scale is it, would you say?
5/8. 5/8 scale. And they're the short wheelbase makes them real. It's more like a midget.
Right.
Twitchy. It's real twitchy and there's no forgiveness. Once you're gone, you're gone.
You don't need more than 150, 160.
That's right.
You don't want to turn around in front of the crowd because you then become a launching ramp.
Well, there's been times where I've looped completely around, never lost a position. That's how fast they come around.
Well, I tell you what. Now, you guys travel and do a lot of this racing away from Indianapolis, or is there a big group right
there
nearby?
No, there's a pretty good group there in Indianapolis. Boswell, Henry, Ford, that's all the same track. It's been called everything for years. It used to be asphalt. Now it's dirt. That was our main track last year. This year we've got, 12, 15 races at Danville, Illinois.
Right.
And I think him and I would like to do some traveling and kind of get out into the end of the bigger
money.
What
do you think of this place so far? I mean, you've been here practicing.
It's a little slick. Last night I was out to lunch. I really was.
It's amazing. You know, we get out there and you go out and you walk around on it and you think, wow, this thing's going to have a ton of grip. And then we got on it with our cars and there was a couple of spots with like ice. I mean, you just had to avoid them. And, of course, Tim White, the one last night, was clear up next to the wall. I don't know how he ever got up there.
That's where I'm going tonight.
Yeah, I do know one thing, and that is you guys run a pretty good RPM on a 1,200 cc motor, right?
About 12,000.
That's what I thought. So your problem is keeping it slowed down to get the tires to grab.
Right.
Because
slow
you
down,
spinning
go
so hard. Right. They're not.
What
they're
kind
not
of transmission
it.
Do they have?
We run the motorcycle transmission. It's the engine's out of a motorcycle, so we run the same transmission off of that. Run a drive shaft back to. Kenny's got a quick change in his car. I've got just a regular differential out of a Toyota in mine. They're
guys, besides getting through the gears for a start or something, once you're racing, do you ever back off in this big a track? Do you ever have to slow down or do anything?
No, usually you can set up. You know, we've got several gears for my car and his car. So, like last night, I would run third all night long. You know, you just find you the right gear ratio, and you should never have to shift. Now, there was a couple times, like on the start, the very start of the race, I knew it'd be slow, so I started in second, and I ran almost three-quarters of a lap in second gear before I shifted into third.
Wow.
Do you basically flat-foot it all the way around a place like this?
No, not really. It's because you'll spin out or whatever. I used a lot of brakes last night to get it wowed in the center and get it turned.
What kind of speeds do you think you're doing around here?
Probably 80 down the straightaway, maybe.
Yeah, well, I think the average is real close to 75 or so all the way around.
Yeah, I think the fast lap last night was 17 and a half seconds, so you figure that on a third-mile track. So
that's pretty quick.
70, 75 mile an hour. Yeah.
What's the biggest track you've ever ran?
Years ago, they ran at the Terre Haute Half Mile. That's the biggest one I know of. I didn't actually run in that one, but I know that they did.
Yeah, I ran it. Terre Haute Action Track, half mile. It's fast.
You guys don't get to run the fairgrounds the mile?
No.
That was awesome.
I'd like to race a bike. I'd like to race a flat track bike there, though.
I got to see Tony and Jack Hewitt racing.
It's been a long time since they had cars on that track.
Yeah, it's been a while. Pretty cool. Well, I know that you guys are traveling now from Indiana to here. What kind of preparation did you go through weeks in advance to get enough stuff to come with? So if you break a wheel, you got one, you got that kind of stuff. And then what was the trip like? Did you come halfway one day or drive all night? Or?
Well, the biggest problem with the preparation is the weather up there. I talked to my wife earlier today, and they're having storms and rain and ice and everything. So it's a little difficult to work on the car. And so that's the biggest problem with the preparation. Luckily, we've got a pretty good supply of tires and wheels and everything, and these things don't burn off a wheel every track or every race, so you can reuse your wheels pretty well.
That means it must be somewhat affordable then, Kenny, to talk
about. Yeah. Brian Menifee, which is my car owner, he gave us his truck and trailer, and it's supplied. So we had a blessing there for Brian to let us bring his truck and trailer down.
Thank you, Brian. I know you're up there listening.
Now, how many races do you run in approximately a year?
We run every Saturday night from probably the 1st of May to, around Halloween time. So probably
1st of May to Halloween time. Hello. Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Florida, are you hearing this?
That's a lot of good racing, isn't it? Yeah.
You guys get to, you can come down here and run three times as many races.
Yeah, yeah.
Because,
I know.
We go to February 5th or December 15th, and they start back up at January 28th.
Right. My wife told me before I left that she would love to be down here, and she said, now, they race a lot more down there, so just while you're down there, be looking for a home or something.
That's right. And actually, I know a guy who's just getting, he'd love to sell all them Jiffy Lubes he owns, but he's getting ready to retire.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss any snow or ice, that's for sure. A lot of good fishing, too, I think.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of fish around here.
What's the biggest one you've won? What's the biggest payday or biggest race you won?
Oh, let's see. I went to, when the dwarf cars first come about, I went to Yuma, Arizona for the Nationals down there and ended up getting third. I got a podium finish down there. I was actually, out of 10 guys that went from Indiana, I was the only one that got to finish the race. So, wow. And I believe it was Hendricks. Nephew that won that race, Rick Hendricks.
Yeah, wouldn't doubt it for a minute. Dwarf cars now, folks that don't know those, basically a motorcycle engine, but it's got the old style bodies. You can buy a 1944.
Right, it's now the classics.
Yeah, classics. Yeah. And down here, they called them Smurf cars for a long time. The guys got really pissed off about that, so they changed it again and so forth. They call them some kind of mini light, I think, or something like that. Stupid. It's like beer commercials every time you talk about this car. If you get something in a four-cylinder or smaller, they're starting to light, and I'm like, give me a break. But what's the future hold? Where are you gonna, you guys are doing this. You kind of like it. It's affordable and so forth. So I imagine you're not looking to move up to sprint cars or something, but what do you think you guys are going to be doing, 5 years down the road?
I'm kind of like one of those guys you were talking about earlier, the 40-year-old guy said, hey, I think I want to go racing. And it's just a hobby for me, and I don't want to beat anybody up out there. I don't want to have to run that hard. I just enjoy it. I enjoy the people. I've met a lot of good people at the racetrack. So
how many years have you been racing?
Probably about 10 years.
So you figured out by now this is an expensive hobby.
It is an expensive hobby. I've had to work harder. When I started off racing, I worked for somebody else. Now I work for myself. So
yeah.
I don't know if that makes it better or not, but at least I get to take a week off whenever I want to and go down to Florida. So
there you go.
Did you bring the wife, though? That I don't understand.
No, I didn't. She's
still shoveling snow. She's going to be so pissed off at you.
You know, she's a great woman, and I'm lucky to have her. And she's not very happy with me, I'm sure. But she
did you get on the phone to
going.
Her before you did this?
No.
So she ain't listening yet.
No.
She can go back and listen tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not being threatened to say that or anything. She really is a good woman. So basically, my plans are just to keep doing this. I think Kenny would love to pursue some more.
Have you raced
rides.
Other types of cars then?
Yeah. I've got about 30 years in racing. I started out with flat track motorcycles when I was a little kid. Went to
before you knew any better.
Yeah, before I knew how fast it was and didn't have a roll cage. Sprint cars, modifieds. I ran a lot of asphalt late models. I started a late model race when I was 14 on asphalt.
Where at?
At Mount Lawn there in Indiana. It's a track's kind of like a baseball diamond, just flat, almost inverted turns.
Kind of like the 16th Street used to be?
Yeah, just like 16th Street, only asphalt.
Used to be the baseball field, and they come flying at you down in the home plate and turn 90 degrees and go that way. That's crazy.
And I got the Craftsman truck ride.
How'd you get that? How'd that happen?
I'm an excavator. I run heavy equipment, and I was talking to a guy about racing. He said, I'd like to go racing. And he got to doing some research, and he ended up buying the Darrell Waltrip 17 trucks. Well, make a long story short, I put all my eggs in one basket, and they broke. So I actually retired from racing after that for 9 years, and Brian Menifee called me and said, hey, would you like to race a car? I said, I don't think so. I don't think I'm really looking for another career. He said, oh, yeah, just come on. Well, I went and raced for him one night and won. So I was like, well, I guess I got another job.
That's pretty cool. I'm sorry. Was it only a one race deal?
Yeah, it was a one race deal.
How'd you do in the race, or did you?
Burn up a transmission, broke transmission. I started 29th, I think. No, I finished 29th, and I started 31st. But I got to start the race and hooked on to Boris Said for about maybe a quarter of a lap, and run around there with him, and that's when I broke my transmission.
Who were some of the other names you remember though that were in that?
There was Rick Crawford. It was all the guys that are pretty much still running now. I mean,
Randy LaJoy was
Randy
back.
LaJoy, yeah. Mike Bliss, Ron Hornaday. I got to talk to Ron a little while. Super guy.
Did you get to bump Mike Skinner?
No, I didn't. I didn't get to bump on anybody.
Okay.
I was trying to set an example. I didn't want to rub on any paint.
I'll tell my Mike Skinner story after the break. But we got to take another break. You guys get back to racing because making no money.
Thanks a lot, guys. For having us.
Take care, guys.
This is Real Racing USA live from the...
Brought to you by Fastlane, Sports Authority in the Hall of Fame Cafe, baby. We are in East Bay Raceway Park. We're 5 miles south of I-4 on 41, and you can't miss us. We got a sign that's 112 feet tall.
Coming up, the Bone Man.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Microphone's not on.
Four syllables. Hollinger.
Hollinger.
How about Calabrese?
No, it's Calabrese.
Calabrese.
Russ Calabrese. I've had that right ever since I ever met the man.
I know.
We've had other announcers go.
I know that.
Calabrese, everything.
Hey.
Crazy.
I do have a little piece of news that's not necessarily...
Hey, Rick.
Hey, you got some news?
Yeah, have a seat. We'll get to you in 30 minutes.
We got some news that's not necessarily good news, but I guess it is good news. Hey, Rick Day.
Another Rick Day sighting.
No way.
I'll tell you what. We'll save that. Let's talk to Rex and to...
you know what Mr. Rex means in
Latin? You can't get Russ to sit down. He's too nervous.
Hey, Russ, come sit down.
Do you know what Rex
means? We're here live at the
microphone's got tape on it. You can't mess up.
At the Hall of Fame Cafe.
Do you know what Rex means in Latin?
What does it mean?
King.
What?
King.
He's teasing me about the news. I want to know what the news is.
Yeah, well, he's always
at no,
well,
he
probably doesn't really tease ever since
I don't think
I've
this news
him.
Can go out over the area.
No,
it's going to be watered down.
After a minute.
We always get things on the phone. I'll be driving down the road. People call me. And
all right, all right. I'll tell you now. Basically, he was just telling me that Ray Miller had a heart attack last night. And he's in the hospital. He's went to see him in Perry, Georgia. And
Billy?
Billy Osborne went to see him. And he's okay. He's recovering. He's got pneumonia, so he's not doing real well. But he's recovering okay. But he did have a heart attack last night. So
I've got to add on to that to another person, and that is we got to ask for your prayers for the Prather family. J.R. Prather, a big, big entity here at East Bay Raceway Park. He's been well under the weather, in the hospital, and is not responding very well to much of anything. So we're not sure where that's going, but we're hoping for the best. So
yeah, I was just talking to Jeff Matthews before he's getting ready to sign in, and I didn't know about it, but he just told me about it, and it brought goosebumps to me.
Yeah, because he's been a great guy. He's been here many years. He loves the fans as much as anybody does. He puts on those fan participation races, brings the cars out, lets you
race. He's all about racing, man. That man's all about racing.
So, J.R. Prather, we pray for you, buddy, and we hope the family comes together and everything works out well for you. Back to racing, though. We are here. The sun is shining at East Bay. It's rained earlier, but it is now going to be a beautiful night. Somewhat muggy, I bet, but a beautiful night. And the track will stay nice and moist, I bet, because it got a little bit of extra rain from the big guy upstairs.
And if you're listening to us from Anchorage, Alaska, East Bay Raceway Park is just in the suburbs of Tampa, Florida.
Just south of Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah, yeah, we're quite a ways south of Anchorage, Alaska. You know what I can say about Anchorage, Alaska?
So... Rex Hollinger, tell us what you've been doing this today, yesterday, the day before. What have you been doing, man?
Oh, today I've had a super day. Today, I don't mean to sound corny, but today I got to live out a dream, something I've wanted to do my entire life since I was a kid. I got to race a midget today. I was over at...
How tall was he?
Did you win?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did, but it was. There's more to that. I was over at Festival Park Speedway on the opening day of Winter Auto Fest in Zephyr Hills. It's a... They have a collector car auction. They have a great big collector flea market. And the main event is they race the antique cars there on about a third-mile dirt track.
Yeah, the old horse track.
Yeah, exactly. But they had an excellent turnout today. They had between 80 and 90 cars.
Wow.
And this is an event that builds as the weekend goes, so they're expecting even more tomorrow, even more Saturday.
Yeah, a bunch of guys can't travel far enough and come out of Georgia and North Carolina and so forth. It's a big annual event, and you're not kidding. It will get big by Saturday. You can't get into the place good.
Yeah, but they were very, very happy with the opening day. Like I said, between 80 and 90 cars. And it was a blast. I got to drive my friend's midget. And sure enjoyed it. I've always wanted to do that, one of those old upright midgets.
Russ Calabrese is critiquing the photograph.
Oh, I'm looking at the photograph.
I know you are.
Yeah, you see me. I'm looking at it. You know, it's everybody, a great picture. The guy, whoever took it, did a great job.
I mean, don't want to assume that everybody out there knows who Russ Calabrese is, so we'll go through this real quick. Russ Calabrese, I met him first at Sunshine Speedway. You were the
short story, Bill. Short story.
You were the track photographer there for how many years?
8.5 years.
8.5 years. You've come to East Bay since then, and you've been here for
4 years.
4 years. And get some great shots. And you do a new thing called Dirt
Motorsports
Dirt
of Tampa
Motorsports
Bay.
Dirt Motorsports Tampa Bay.
Right.
And so he does shirts and all kinds of things. Go
shirts,
look it
t-shirts,
up.
T-shirts, license plates, coffee mugs, mouse pads, keychains, whatever.
Okay, good. So we got a photographer and a rookie racer.
And Rex, did you ever meet Robert Wing, R.E. Wing? Did you
no,
ever meet that?
No, never have. He's one of the...
Well, he's in line at the concessions as we speak,
and
here at the Hall of Fame.
And
Cafe.
You say it like a ricochet, Rob Wing.
He'll be over to join us a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's turning his back on us right now. Anyway,
this
it must
is the
be
show
cool.
Hey, Bill, this is the show made for those with ADD.
That's right. It must be cool, though, to get a chance.
Auto
You've been over there a few
it.
Times and been involved in the association, I think, for the – is it – give me right – the Daytona Antique – Racers Association?
Yeah, something like that. Daytona Auto Racing Association.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been over there as a spectator. Actually, I joined it today. You have to join to be able to race it. But very nice group, and there's some interesting cars, some interesting people. And I tell you, it's astonishing. You know, it's great to see the antique cars going, but wait till you see some of those antique drivers. I mean, some of those guys, there's a bunch of them in their 70s. Some of them are in their 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And they have such spirit. Men and women. There were actually a lot more women driving than I anticipated.
Wow.
You know, I'm now... not exactly in my 70s, but there's some very young people in the... There were some teenagers, people in their 20s. They had a race last year. They had a kid who was 17 racing against a guy who was 80.
That's cool.
It's pretty fun.
It's a lot of fun, and that's what it's all about. It's a lot of mixture, and a lot of stories are swapped and things going on. It's crazy.
You know, it really is. It's like all the fun of being at a racetrack because you got the atmosphere, you got the cars and so forth, but there's not really the stress and tremendous competition that you have on Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah. Besides being Zephyr Hills... done in Zephyr Hills. Everybody goes and knows Zephyr Hills. It's over in Zephyr Hills. Well, what is the actual name and the location of the track so people can find it? I know it's right off 301.
Yeah, right on 301. It's called Festival Park Speedway, and it's part of the Winter Auto Fest.
Winter Auto Fest. That's when I say off 301. If you're on I-4, go north on 301. If you're in Zephyr Hills or off of 52, go south on 301 out of Zephyr Hills, and it's right out to your left as you're going south. Really nice area. Beautiful layout. They've got a lot of room out there for a lot of parking and a lot of people to come see. They don't have a lot of grandstands, I know, but they got a few that they sneak in, I think.
Yeah, and, they do. It seems to be an event put on more for the racers than the stands are.
Right.
But they're going to be out there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I'm told that a lot of the cars kind of peter out and head home on Sunday, so if anybody's planning on going, Friday and Saturday would definitely be the best days to go.
Yeah, Sunday's a travel day. You got to be back at work on Monday.
And where am I? I'm here.
You're going to be here. Except Sunday. Sunday you could go over there early and get some shots.
Yeah.
If you had any more.
If I had any left in me after the three weeks I've been here.
That's one of the things we'll talk to you about is what's it like to go, I mean, Sunshine Speedway, we had a Winter Nationals one day in January, and then we did our regular Saturday nights. Here, you got 20 or 17 nights of racing within 4 weeks.
It's tough, man, because I work my normal job, which is over in Clearwater, and then I come all the way back over here, which I live over here in Apollo Beach. I come here straight from work and get on the track, and it's just nonstop, especially during the late models. Late models is nonstop. And with this year, it rained on Monday. They had the double show on Friday, which I couldn't make because I had to be at work, and it's just it wears you out after a while. Well, we just had this 3 or 4 day break, and it was great.
I was going to ask you, Russ.
It was a nice little break.
What is the toughest class to photograph?
The late models. The sprints, I mean, they're okay. I mean, the sprints, to me right now, are dying because there isn't too many of them around anymore.
Right.
As normally, when I first started here, the 410s were big. You know, they had a lot of 360s, and then they had the 410s. Well, now the 410s, the World of Outlaws, they have this rule that they can't race within so many hours or so many miles of another event.
Right.
Well, this year they only had 2 days. Last year they only had the 1 day because another day rained. So the 410s are kind of dying, but the late models, let me tell you, the people come from everywhere to watch them late models, and it's just nonstop because it's
amazing.
It's hot
Monday,
laps.
You watch this place just kind of fill up. It just slowly fills up, and you wind up with a lot of people in the stands on a Monday night to watch racing, and it's every night that way. Monday through Saturday, they're here.
I mean, they're here in droves. I mean, it's just unreal to watch the people, and then you talk to them, and they come from all over the place.
Why is it so hard to shoot them? Is it because there's so many of them, they're stacked up
three and four wide in the corners, and you're focusing on one, and next thing you know, an action is happening someplace else, and you miss that, and it's like, it's just crazy. But it's nonstop because they hot lap, they qualify, they have a little break, and then they start going, and you got to make sure you're ready.
How many pictures you take in a night on a late model night?
You talking about during the Lucas Oil late models?
Yeah.
I'll probably take 400 or 500 shots.
Wow.
400 or 500 shots. And a lot of them we keep for library for, you know, other reasons. And then I use them for the internet for, you know, for East Bay's website. And then in the grandstands where we're set up on our trailer, you know, I sell them to the fans too. Or, matter of fact, some of the drivers come over. I've had people like, Herb come over. I've had Donnie Moran's kids come over. Little Moran, he's a trip. And, you know, you get to meet some of the kids, and, you know, they get to know you after four years of being here, you know. And that's one of the biggest times, too, because there are a lot of photographers here. A lot of photographers.
Do you still get requests for sunshine pictures?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. I just had a sunshine driver call me the other day. Rob Elting. Not Rob Elting. Chuck Redding, that's who it was. Yeah. We were talking about Bonehead, but no, it's Chuck Redding.
What's your most famous sunshine picture?
There's too many. I can't name one.
The one that you got. Well, which one you sell the most of is what I was thinking would be the trick.
Well, unfortunately, the man passed away.
Well,
and you know who that would be.
Well,
I have a lot.
About Wild Bill Rivard.
Wild Bill Rivard. I have a lot of people. A lot of people.
Winner Circle picture.
Winner Circle pictures. Yep.
That's awesome.
And unfortunately, I tried not to do that out of respect for his mom and stuff like that, but. You know, she's a great person. Sell the pictures because there's a lot of people that wanted them, and I didn't have the heart to do it because I was there that night, and I was the second person on the scene running across the track while these guys are racing, and that's been the biggest thing, and that's been the most emotional night that has happened for me in racing.
That's always a very emotional thing at any track, I'm sure, but at Sunshine Speedway, the only person who ever died at the track was in the pits. He had a heart attack or something.
And that was another friend of mine.
But, I mean, up until that point, I mean, it's a shocker. It taught me an awful lot in about 3 or 4 hours about how to be an announcer and how to be a better announcer, for sure. But things like that, you don't forget them, and hopefully you learn a lot from them. But you do things differently to make sure that you talk to your friends and be different with them. Because I was a great friend with Wild Bill, but only for about a year and a half. Before that, he passed away, and I'd go to Lugnuts, and we'd sit at the table, talk about racing and things, and he wanted to know about airplanes and helicopters a little bit and that kind of stuff. So it was really cool.
The biggest thing that Bill Rivard, the way with Bill, he always talked about figure eight racing with me. You know, we'd always talk, and everybody would always rag on him about his car was so ugly. His most famous thing was, it's not a beauty contest,
and that stuck
with me every time. And every time somebody says something about their car, I go, hey, it's not a beauty contest.
And it was a Hungry Howie's car. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Great. But that's cool. I'm glad you were willing to talk about it a little bit because I think we kind of, since Sunshine went away, that's kind of been pushed away. And nobody thinks about, you know, honoring him anymore and so forth. So it's a shame. But
you know, it's funny. Dave Westerman just this week started raising the idea of having a big memorial race. Not for any particular driver, but for all the drivers that we've lost in Florida. And it's just, it's odd.
Pure.
We don't often hear this topic discussed about racing fatalities, but Dave and Marty Little and several other guys had went on about it at length and made some pretty long lists. It's just so odd to hear. You know, usually it's like the last thing we want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. This is the very last thing we want to talk about.
Yep. No, it's tough to talk about. And, you know, things happen all the time. And there was a spurt there right after his passing that at the local racing level around the country, there must have been 10 within the next 2 years that we heard about. And then it's kind of slowed down a little bit, I guess, again. But it's been you know, one of those things you have to face up to and you have to deal with.
Well, that's also one of the things that I have to worry about there as well as being a photographer, because I'm in harm's way of some of these guys sometimes.
You're in the danger zone.
Yeah, I am in the danger zone, and I get people griping at me every night that I'm out there, because I'll stand on the front stretch, and if you've ever been to East Bay and you're on the front stretch and you know them guys, when they're having a bad night, they'll come flying in there, and I stand right there, and I hear them, because Clyde Beard always told me, never turn your back, and I never turn my back, and I'm always listening for these guys, and I had one of the guys' wives, Russ, you need to get out of there. I'm like, I hear them, you know, but...
Well,
that's one of the risks that we have.
East
to take
Bay front too. Stretch for years was very safe. I mean, they didn't bounce off the walls come that way because they had the wall inside.
Yeah.
Even when you took it away, it was still pretty safe. But when they changed the shape of the go-kart track, mm-hmm. they changed the shape of the big track too, and that throws them out into the wall. And they bounce off the wall and come back towards that center. What is our? I guess it's our victory lane, but send them back that way. So you kind of have to watch out.
Yeah, you have to keep it. And then there's also a driver out here. Whenever he wins. We know who that might be. When he wins, he's on that front stretch, and he'll do anything out there.
He does a donut, and I think we've all gotten used to that. We're talking about Gene Lasker. I don't know why we're scared to use names around here. But Gene, I was trying to call Gene today to get him come in and do the show, but I couldn't get an answer. I couldn't get a phone number correctly. I got to look up the ding.
He changed it again.
Yeah, probably. Didn't want me to talk to him
anymore. Get it from Bubba.
He's a racer. It got disconnected. It happens to all of us.
Yeah, but anyway, Gene is, that's Gene, the showman. I mean, he's got...
Oh, he's quite a showman. Love him or hate him.
He's got lots of fans.
Love him or hate him.
There's lots of fans that love him. A lot of people...
But I have to be careful out there, and I warn lots of photographers. When he won the 360s, the night of the 410s, I said, guys, you need to stay back. This man is...
This guy's going to go off.
He's going to go off. And what does he do? He goes off in turn four.
He stopped right in front of me.
I was like, okay.
I was in the media thing, and I walked out and went, hey, Gene, just sit tight. They'll come get you.
What's the most dangerous class as a photographer?
The sprints.
The sprints?
Yeah, the sprints, because you never know where they're going. I mean, if those guys get loose and if something flips, anything can come off those cars.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think it's the sprints here. Sunshine, I never had anything to worry because it was the grass. The asphalt, they kind of much, you know, stop. But when you're on dirt, you just keep sliding.
What's your closest call?
My closest call.
You've been on the hood once at Sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. I went,
what was that? How did that happen?
Was it one of the street socks, I think it was? One of the street socks came my way, and I wasn't paying attention. And
he was trying to stop. He just
kept on going, and I just kind of jumped, and I ended up on the hood. And, you know, I used to get close. Bonnie Hill used to yell at me because during the figure eights, I tried to get so close, and she says, if I ever catch you close to that middle again, you're out of here.
Did she take you in the office?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a Bonnie Hill talk. I've had Frank Hill talk. So.
I had the Bonnie Hill talk.
Yeah. Nobody's safe around them, but, yeah, I've had plenty of those talks because I used to try to sneak to get a closer shot. And even when the buses were out there, when they get in the infield and they stop.
You rode in a bus taking pictures.
I rode in the late model to take pictures. And when the buses, you know, stopped in the middle, what do? I get on top of the buses or I get in the buses.
Wow. Well, you weren't in the one that rolled over that time.
No, thank God.
That was
which
Frank,
one?
Frank Hill. Frank Hill, the
Frank,
miracle
Frank
rollover.
Up
remember,
yeah.
I call it the
rolled over and kept on going.
Yeah, he rolled all the way over.
I was there
and
that
he just
night.
Cranked it right back up and drove off. And everybody was like, whoa!
Do you remember the night Wendell Overstreet got hit in an intersection and the motor blew up and fell out of the car?
Came out and it rolled underneath
it. It rolled underneath it. It caught on fire. I mean, that was funny.
And then the one where the son,
Cameron.
Jason?
Cameron.
Oh, Cameron.
Cameron Hill came across there and somebody hit him and it took the front end out of it and it rolled underneath. He slid to a stop like an airplane digging in the ground, coming right at the grandstands in the dirt.
A lot of good things from that track, but I hate to say it and... God forgive me, but I have more fun at this dirt track than I did at 8.5 years at Sunshine.
Yeah, well, they both have their positives. I mean, Sunshine Speedway, you went there, you knew how it was going to be run. You're going to be in, you're going to be out. You're going to get a good show. It's going to be quick. It's going to be easy. Here, you get a lot more fun, and there's a lot more interaction between the fans and the drivers and stuff, it seems. There's a lot more people that wait after the races and go down the pits. The Winter Nationals, maybe not so much. I mean, they know their drivers, and they do go see them. But in the regular season, though, when the races are over, there's a lot of people going the other way to go down in the pits and talk.
No, I did 5 years asphalt, you know, and this last year I did dirt. It's a whole different world.
It's a whole different world.
When you tell people that, they just don't understand. You know, and it's hard to explain really what the difference is. It's just the way the show's done, the prepping the track. That's just, you know, there isn't all this practice, tires, and this and set up. The guys roll in, you know, you'll get to a dirt track, and it's 6 o'clock, and you're going, where's all the cars?
They're rolling in at the last minute.
Yeah, they come in the last minute. What are they doing? They're rolling the track in. They're not practice. That's their practice, rolling the track in.
Yep. Do you remember Ed Kidd?
Remember Ed Kidd?
Well, Ed was my supervisor at one point, and he always used to tease me about coming over here, and he'd always say asphalt for racing and dirt is for planting potatoes. I go, nah.
Yeah, then
I'm like,
dirt
nah,
racers
forget it.
Always say asphalt's for getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not.
And it's great either way. I just know that there's a lot of great racing going on, as evidenced by the folks at Zephyr Hills this weekend. Right here at East Bay, we got the Winter Nationals. A few places starting to kick off their seasons in the next few weeks.
I know next week.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series does.
Auburndale's running this Saturday.
Yeah, Auburndale's this weekend.
Where are they running to?
Huh?
Where are they running to?
Winter Haven.
Hey,
who are they running?
I've been going. Did you tell these guys about the electric racing?
No, I was just getting ready to ask them about that. I was getting ready to ask them because you did this midget thing. You run the mini stock, of course. Demolition Derbies, you're world famous for that. And you're world famous on the message board. But tell us a little bit about the electric cars.
Now, you've glazed over that message board. We got to come back to that. Go ahead.
Well, the electric cars, we're racing them actually Saturday at the Battery Beach Burnout. I think it's at FAU in Jupiter.
A Battery Beach Burnout?
Battery Beach Burnout, yep. And, you know, it's funny, if you tell people that you race electric cars, they think you're racing like a little radio-controlled car
right,
or something.
Right, right.
Which I used to do. When I first saw that post, when the first post you ever put about it, I thought that's what it was, and
you're
then not? I started reading it. And that's an awesome deal.
Yeah, no, they're not radio-controlled. You get in and drive them. It's run under the Electrathon sanction, which is a group that sanctions electric car racing throughout the country and internationally to some extent.
They're going to run
motorsports.
You know what?
In a way, it is.
They'll run the Go Green 100.
Mm. Well, yeah, that's sort of true, but I don't want to identify myself as
in the house. Go ahead.
Yeah, but
go
there's
ahead.
No way I'm going to identify myself as a green. You know, I want a race car that'll
belch
out.
He's got green on.
No. I want a race car that'll belch out as much carbon as possible. I want to burn as much hydrocarbons and consume as much rubber as I possibly can.
Buy a bag of coal.
Wait a minute. You're the guy who last year, when the gas prices hit $4, you went out and bought a moped.
That's because
to go grocery shopping.
That's right, to go grocery shopping. But when it comes to racing, you know, let's go racing. That's because I'm a tightwad, Jeff.
Those race fuel prices didn't go up that high anyway.
Right.
But anyhow, so we're heading down there to Jupiter this weekend, and they call it the Alternative Fuel Electric Vehicle Competition, which sounds awful boring, but they've got a lot of good events coming up, like electric scooter cross and electric kart cross. Anyhow, we're going to race a one-hour event Saturday afternoon at 4 with the Electrathon.
Is this like you're going to get a bunch of geeks from MIT or something?
Geeks?
Or
the Geek Squad. One of them is going to be sponsored by the Geek Squad.
Are these local racers who just can't afford gas engines? I was just trying to stir something up because it does sound kind of boring, but I want people to think that there are a lot of people that go there.
What speed film would I use for that?
And enjoy it. They enjoy this.
How loud are they?
Actually, they're silent, but they're more.
But they're not deadly, I bet.
See, remember, Rick, hang on just a second. Remember when we interviewed
put
the
put a horn on him so you could find
him. The killer cycle. Remember the killer cycle?
Yeah, the electric cycle, right.
Right? World's fastest drag bike.
He almost got killed on it.
Yeah. So it was silent, though. So that's what your deal is.
Nobody heard him coming.
Yeah, they thought he was a
so
mummer.
What, I mean, is it oval racing? Is it a track?
We don't even know what the track is going to be at this battery.
So they throw you a
road course?
It could be. They ran last Saturday over at USF, and that was on a road course. And we run a couple races a year at an oval track in Titusville. And these things are fast enough. I mean, they'll burn through a set of tires in an hour. Are there geeks involved? Yeah, there's a few. But there's a lot of racers, too. For example, my partner.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, it's okay. There are. Definitely are some, but
do you have to stop and plug it back in, or you change batteries?
Well, I saw some with solar panels, right?
Well, that's cheating. You're getting power all the time.
No, there's none that I know of in Florida. That's the solar panel class is something else.
They
go across Australia. I've seen that one.
We have to run a one-hour race using two automotive batteries, and there's very little in the way of rules beside that.
A one-hour race. Using two automobile batteries.
That's
my battery
fact.
Won't keep my lights on 20 minutes. How can you run?
Well, it doesn't.
What kind of motor? I mean, what's the driveline in it?
Well, it depends. I have two partners with a car that we have, and we've been fortunate enough to be winning most of the races. And we it's great poetic justice because we have an old throwaway obsolete motor that one of the other teams gave us. And it's a permanent magnet brushed motor like you would find in any kind of industrial application.
We just went into geek talk.
What turn motor is it?
What do you mean what turn?
Well, like RC cars, they have 19 turn, 10 turn, 27 turn. What turn is it?
Is it a 110 or a 220?
24 volt.
24 volt, dude.
Most of the modern cars are running brushless DC, but that starts to get a little expensive. We like having this throwaway motor that we got for free.
Brushless DC.
How do you cheat?
They have brushless motors for RC cars. They probably have brushless motors for this stuff, too.
It's very hard to cheat because there are very few rules. The only rules are safety related. Our car happens to be built out of, conduit and junk. There's kit cars, just like any kind of racing. You can spend money and get a kit car.
We want to be a sponsor.
Yeah, we got a little duct tape on it, too. Duct tape and tie wraps.
That's too many miles per hour there.
We spent money on things that matter, okay? We have good racing hubs, good racing brakes, good wheels and tires.
Obviously not fuel.
What is the top speed of the car?
I don't know what the top speed would be. It'll smoke the tire from a standing start, okay? But because we have to run an hour, you sort of have to pace yourself.
On
the races at the little oval in Titusville, we average about 30 miles an hour to go. And they're small. It's about a sixth-mile track.
I'm running a race. Can somebody give me an iced tea as I go by?
It'll smoke the tires if you lift it up, hit the gas, and then drop it.
No, you're dead wrong. It'll smoke the tires because electric motors make full torque at no speed.
Can you send us some photographs and some information about
that? I would like to see that on the car deck. I'd like to see some of that stuff.
Yeah. I've got a website for it.
Is it direct drive, or do you use a chain and a gearbox?
Yeah, some are direct drive. Ours is not. Our car happens to have actually has working gears. We don't know.
I was going to think if you geared it, I mean, you could run it pretty low RPM.
You can run it low RPM to save the batteries, even though you're not going fast. You could save your battery.
You need a GMC transmission's got like 18 gears in it to get up to speed.
Not really. If you think we're geeky, then try to beat us. Because you're not gonna.
Let me ask you this:
actually is a good bit of optimization
on your
in
two
our
batteries that you're using. What is your what's your average run time on them?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to. Use them up so that they last an hour.
So the 24 volts would last you an hour? Because what if the runtime doesn't last an hour?
Well, but we monitor current, so we know that it will. I've been testing batteries for 2 weeks. So
Russ Calabrese is our technical advisor.
Are you running wet cell or are you running dry cell?
Gel cell. These are the AGM batteries.
Okay.
It's almost a spec battery. That's one of the very few rules we have. You can run old-fashioned lead-acid ones if you want, but these AGM batteries are much better. So everybody tends to run the same ones.
Like an Optimum ones. Or
Red Tops, yeah, Optimum Red Tops. Yeah.
How many shots can you get out of your camera on one set of batteries?
Probably 2,000.
So you do 400 or 500 a night, you can get
it'll
four
last
or five
two
nights.
Days.
Yeah, but that won't smoke the tires.
That won't smoke the tires.
Yeah, that won't smoke the tires. It'll
if you put a solar
camera,
panel on it,
it'll smoke
a
camera, but it won't smoke the tires.
Well, it sounds really cool. I mean,
it's real racing.
Can you come bring one and show it to people? I mean, put it in the parking lot or bring
actually,
it out.
Actually, could you get
display?
Like five or six drivers together? We could do a show one night here.
We'll do the Carnac.com.
What are they
going to
race around out here?
Dirt might be a challenge because
they're going to race
they
around
have
out
racing
here?
Bicycle tires.
Go kart.
The dirt might be a little.
They
bit
use bicycle tires.
Yeah. Jack, racing bicycle tires.
Okay, that's cool. Here's
that
the deal.
Means the little skinny
no,
ones.
No, I know how
no,
to
no,
make.
No, not really. Those we'll take
Rex,
all the
here's what you
got
to do. Okay, they're quiet, right? There's no sound because it's better. So here's what you do.
Yeah.
Since it's bicycle tires, racing bicycle tires, you get a pack of cards. Yeah?
He's coming up behind me. I can hear him.
We all did it when we were 12.
You're not appreciating the seriousness of this event.
He stopped to go.
Are they knobbies or slick tires? The racing tires?
Neither. They've got a little tread to them.
They have a little bit of tread.
You have to drive them into the pits and back out on the track.
Yeah, no, because if he says they're bicycle racing tires, there are several different tires that they would use.
Yeah. These are high pressure ones. We run about 100 psi in them.
Because normal bicycle tires are what, 60 to 80?
Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Started
they're actually pretty
expensive. The moon tires that they used to run on the moon.
But it's good racing. You know, in a way, it's a design exercise to come up with a design that works and to optimize the performance of it, just like anything. On the other hand, when you're in there going and you go into a corner side by side, it doesn't matter if you're driving a sprint car, a late model, or even one of these electric things. It's still good racing. There's still a lot
of fun.
You're
not going
to
slide in.
You're not going to bounce off of them.
Racing is racing.
Yes, you do. That's right. Racing is racing.
You really and truly should start a class at East Bay, because you guys could start running at 11:30 when the noise abatement comes along, because you could run all night and not make any noise.
Now, do they have bodies on, or do they have bodies on them?
Yes, most of them have kind of home-built bodies.
Are they Lexan or plastic or fiberglass?
Yes, all those things. And
do they need graphics?
No.
Yes, they do. I was just talking with one guy who owns three or four of them, and he was telling me about he found some roof flashing at Lowe's today. And I said, well, it sounds like aluminum foil you could wrap a sandwich in. Just about that thick.
All right, listen, man. Before we go to break, I have one more question. I have one question for you.
Is it serious?
Yeah, it's very serious. Okay. Is the wine... is it good wine, or is it going to make me
it's
ill?
It's excellent wine. It's excellent wine.
It's excellent wine?
Yes. Okay. Oh, I gave out four cases of good stuff.
It's Debone. It's Chateau Debone.
Yeah, well, you
know. What are we talking about? I thought we were talking about racing, not wine.
Apparently, we've been paid booze.
We've segued. I think we've segued to a whole different topic.
You had to be.
So it's good wine.
Yeah, it's good. You'll like it.
Okay, good.
It was used by Foster Brooks. It must be good.
Okay.
So if you're around,
just don't give me none so I can take pictures tonight.
Right.
I don't want to be stumbling
Battery
all
Beach
over the track.
Burnout.
It's the Florida Electric Auto Association, FLEA.
So where are the races this year? How many races?
The one we're going to this weekend is in Jupiter. I think it's at FAU.
FAU, meaning Florida University.
Florida Atlantic University. I've never been down there,
no, Rick,
and I don't know much about
it. It's a shame that he doesn't know Hans Niebuhr.
I'm telling you.
These two guys.
Yeah. Ooh, I got an announcer for you.
They would have.
John Birdie.
They would have the car.
Absolutely.
Would have the car.
We've already got
John
the
Birdie,
car.
If you're listening to me.
It doesn't have a steering wheel.
Be at FAU.
If you had Hans Niebuhr.
John Birdie, be at FAU this weekend.
They'd
need an announcer.
You know what? Tell Hans Niebuhr to bring it on, because we got a car that'll whoop him. We already got the car.
What's the website again?
Electrathon FL, Florida. ElectrathonFL.homestead.com.
Cool.
I think I'm going to go check that out if I remember it.
And you can look up...
Is there a link on your guys'
on front page of Carnac?
Okay.
There's a link down at the bottom. We buried it deep at the bottom.
It's easier if you go to batterybeach.com.
There are other pages beside the message board.
And or Florida EAA. Either one of those, you can probably get links to things.
Yeah, I want to say hi to my partners, because I did the driveline and my partners did the car. It's Dana Barlow and his son Lance down in Miami. Dana Barlow's been a stock car racer, road racer, sailboat racer. He's raced everything for about 40 years, and he's got quite a good mind for tinkering. And he came up with a very original suspension design for this car, and it's been bulletproof.
Awesome.
So.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Don't run away. We're going to take a break.
Got more people talking, don't we?
Can I go take pictures
Fast
now?
Lane?
Yeah, you can go take pictures.
I can take pictures now?
You can go take
yes,
pictures.
You can.
Thank you for having
Thanks,
me
buddy.
On.
Appreciate
right,
it. Yes.
Since 1997, Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Keep on turning.
right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Hall of Fame Cafe at East Bay Raceway Park. We are Real Racing USA. We're live.
We will talk about anything.
We'll talk about anything. We'll talk about electric racing. Now let's talk about race cars that I don't think I could get into, but I imagine they probably could somehow, some way. And they're called Mod Lights this week, as they have been Mod Minis. They've been everything over the years from different places. And we got Buckholz. That's right. Don't ask me. Didn't name Buckholz. And he is in charge of the program and brought a lot of cars from a lot of states, it looks like, down to race this week, man.
We have 12 different states that are represented, and Canada also. So we've got Canadian drivers down. We've got four of them, and from 12 different states.
12 different states, Canadian drivers, and one really pissed off New Yorker. God, I talked to that poor guy. Well, I'm going to go
into
it.
It happens.
Yes, it does.
Anyway,
as Forrest Gump said, it happened.
I know. I turned the corner and started asking people. I saw this young kid sitting in the
car. Okay,
park.
We can go on now.
It's okay. Okay. Relax a second.
Okay.
And I talked to this young kid. I thought, are you the youngest racer here? And he said, well, I'm not really, because we're not racing.
It was freaking out.
What?
Anyway, let's get on with, now how many cars you got in the event tonight?
We have 47 cars here.
So that's a great class.
Yep. Not bad.
We start 26 in the A main. We run all three nights, and then the Saturday night is the Winter Nationals champion, crowned the Winter Nationals champion.
Now, what is your progression of racing to get into the A main? How's it start out? Do you qualify, or do you just go to heat?
We've got heat races and then up.
The lights just came on. Do you know Terry Wall?
I was wondering how long that would get there.
Yeah. I'm sitting here going,
that does it. You're
name.
Out of here.
I know sorry this name. About that. I know this name. Author, something clicks. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, very, very well. I know Terry. He's worked for me all over the country, from Arizona to Tennessee.
Well,
and
yes. Well, we have something in common that we're both perhaps regret at times.
What are you able to pay the guys to come this far to race at this high
well,
level?
Well, last night we ran the All Star race, which crowned our national champion, and that without contingencies, that was $1,000 to win show, okay. $200 to start the show. So with contingencies, I think the winner is going to end up with about $2,400.
Oh, very nice. So,
wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, on a regular, these nights we'll pay $500 to win for each night. Saturday we'll pay $1,000 to win.
No contingencies or anything, just a nice jacket or something.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah.
But I got to ask you a question. How do you determine your starting lineups? You don't start the fast guys up front, do you?
No, we do it by pill draw.
For the heat races?
Uh-huh. And then whoever wins, we just go down first, second, and line them up from there.
So they start straight up from the heat races?
Yes.
Oh, speaking as a fan, my friend, you need
you'd
to...
You'd like
you
to have it...
Yes, you need to cross up, at least invert the top 12 or something.
And our normal racetracks, and we have 9 different regions, and those regions do that on a weekly basis. But for this race, we, because a lot of people have come a long ways, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but they didn't come to parade. They came to race. I think
Buck, we have to... Let me interject here. I just so we're clear on this... Mr. Hollinger is a professional fan, and he is a member, and actually he is the acting president of
King.
The,
he's the King, Rex,
of,
King,
of
Rex,
Florida
King.
Fans.
All right.
Okay? He speaks for the fans.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, my point would be, though, Rex, is remember that when a pill draw happens, the fast guy may be starting in the back. He may not have won the heat. He may be still in the back and going through to be main.
And
so.
If I could give you an example, last night in our All-Star race, Ryan Charland, who towed down from Connecticut, started 23rd. He finished 5th. So these guys, they're so equal with these cars that it really, there's no one fast guy. And they race, we were multi all over the racetrack last night.
See, Rex, it's a whole different thing too, Rex, from asphalt to dirt. Like when the fast guys start up front in asphalt, they're gone.
You don't have to
start every time. You don't have to have the best car to win a race.
They have to have a
We've had guys start in the 20th position with the United Dirt Late Mile Challenge Series, make it all the way up to the
front.
You
can drive a bad car.
And you're all the way up in the front, and the next thing you know, he's 15th.
Right, but I think the best racing in Florida in February tends to be the TBARA Sprints, and that's a group that always inverts the top 12. They've got one guy that's really dominant and another guy that's pretty close. They usually start 12th or 11th, and they generally finish 1st or 2nd.
The guy that won last week's race, the guy who finished 2nd, has to start
11th or 12th. I would argue that all day long.
Oh, bring it.
I don't think that they can hold a candle to the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Models here or the World of Outlaws late models, because you have two dominant cars. You got Dave Steele and you got Troy Decaire, who have a lot more money, power, and everything else in their vehicles. And, yeah, you start them at the back and let them drive to the front, and it's a show.
We just digressed into
kind of like the wine deal, wasn't
what,
it?
Yeah. Yeah. But what Buck was saying, hang on just 1 second. But what he was saying about this is very important, is the cars are equal.
Very
there's
equal.
So much equality there.
Right.
That's a good show.
And we're evolutionizing these cars into a sealed program. They've been kind of out of control for the last few years, but now we're sealing the 1000 GSXR Suzuki motors. You can't do anything to them, and we're the only ones that seal them. So it puts it back in the hands of the driver.
But you know, parity. I think parity is overrated.
That's right. Go ahead, say that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Think back to when cup racing was really good 30 years ago. Okay, you had Richard Petty, you had David Pearson, a couple of guys who could always be counted on to drive around everybody and get to the front. And that was really good racing. And now, in cup particular, there's so much parity, the guys can't pass, they line up and have a freight train.
Right. But in Saturday night racing, the man with the money wins.
Thank you.
And that's the problem with not having parity. The guy that has the most money puts the most money in that engine, and he drives away from everybody else, where you put him in a car that he can adjust, and that makes him faster instead of playing with the motor.
Well, that assumes that they're not playing with the motor. I understand they're sealed, but, you know, I've heard a few rumors that maybe the sealed motors get taken apart every now and then.
Rumors?
And
they do.
I can't
do.
Say anything
I'm being
about
totally
the crate
sarcastic.
Deal. You know, and we tech these guys very, very hard.
We didn't bring you on here to be attacked by
that's
the Geek
okay.
Squad, okay?
No, that's good.
Oh, Lord.
Look, Buck can hold his own here. Don't worry about him.
Yeah. Hey,
I just want you to understand something, Bill. You don't know this. You and I got this crazy scheme one time we're going to digress again. We got this ADD. We got this crazy scheme one night to have a show called Saturday Night Live after the races. Remember, Rick?
Right,
and we
right.
did
I
this
was on
show.
It several
we did
times,
this
yeah.
show.
I did it for about 8
show,
months, I guess.
And then when you decided that we couldn't do it anymore at the time that we were doing it, and we looked for somebody else to do it, we talked to Terry Wall. And Terry Wall got on the phone and called a good friend of his, Buck Buchholz, and guess what? He did the show for a while, didn't
you? Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, you did. They did.
That was fun. Had a lot of places calling in, and the trick was they had to build up a list of people you could call and remind them, hey, we're on, talk to me.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. We'll do that again someday maybe, but.
So
well,
parity.
It's in the works, actually.
Well,
it works,
and what we've also done in the Mod Light divisions, and we're now working this to get into a national situation. We've got a junior division now that has a 600cc sealed motor, and they're from 10 to 16 years old. And when they get to that 16-year-old spot, all they have to do is change the engine into the 1000 so that they don't have to buy a complete new car. All they have to do is get another engine, which is about $2,500 to $3,000. $2,500 to $3,000.
Okay. Now those cars that run in Florida, there's two body styles. There's the vintage style, and then there's like the new modified style.
That's
what
correct.
Do you guys run?
Wait, actually, they're incorporated tonight. We have both what's now called the classics, used to be dwarf cars, and the modified lights. Now, the reason for the evolution of the dwarf car is that guys that are my age remember the 32, 33 Fords. These kids that are driving now, and we've got them as young as 15 in this tonight, they don't remember those cars, and they want a car that looks like a race car.
Like
and
a
modified
wedge.
Like a race car.
Yeah. Modified.
Is there an advantage, you think, to the modified style?
There is some updated things that we have done as modified lights that the classics have not got onto because they're club. The club mentality keeps them from moving on.
Well,
such
the mod lights, though, the new ones that look like the 5/8 scale
right.
modified
northeast
from up north,
modified lights.
They look safer to me.
Oh, they're absolutely safer.
You know,
they're
because you got more that's area. Right. You got some bars out there to, you know, give you some room to crush
and you can
into.
Get out quicker.
Yes.
Get out of them.
Yeah.
So forth. Because I mean, I've been in a dwarf car. Yeah, you don't.
That's tough in a dwarf car, but you could get in a modified light.
Oh, I'm sure.
You
some
know,
way, somehow, but
yeah,
he could fit.
Well, we'd have to,
move
put a roof
steering.
Flap in it, but that's okay. There,
we'd
a
have
lot
to
of
go
guys
back in the kitchen and get some lard.
As long as you put the fat boy exit in it, I'm in here. But it looks like they're pretty fast, too. I mean, these guys were up with us earlier talking, the guys from Indiana. They were talking about they felt like they were doing somewhere around 80 miles an hour at the fastest point on the track and probably still keeping it about 75 average or so. I mean, that's moving pretty quick.
Well, last night during practice, the crate late models were less than a second faster than the modified lights. So they're right
that
up in
there. That
must
be fun.
That's cranking.
Hanging on.
That's getting it on.
Are you guys on spec tires?
Yes, we are.
Spec tires going to sealed motors.
Mm-hmm. And a steel-bodied shock, which is either Pro or Bilstein. which is a $75 shock.
Oh, let me ask you this on this on the motors. Do you have one builder?
Yes.
So you only have one builder?
That's correct.
Is the builder involved owning a car or anything?
No.
Oh, that's good.
Can anybody...
Does he have kids?
Yes.
Who? It's racing.
Yes. Oh. No, he does not have kids.
Okay.
No.
Who techs the cars?
We have... Each one of the tracks or regions have their own technical staff.
Mm-hmm.
I run a racetrack in Delaware, so we have our tech people. Down here, we bring the national tech people in for this one.
The reason I ask that is because in some of the asphalt, and I don't know about dirt, but I do know about asphalt, late model series that have sealed motors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's common knowledge. You can.
I agree.
To,
you can buy the seals on the black market.
You go
market.
To people, they pay, mm-hmm. you pay, you get, you know. I mean,
the seals we buy
you
are,
get better if you pay more.
Are from a bonded company, so they're made for only us. And we have dealt with these rumors that you can go on the Internet and buy the seal.
No,
but I've never
rumors.
Seen it. I mean, I've asked people that have given me that rumor, okay, tell me what site, and I'll go, but nobody
oh, okay.
can come up with that.
Yeah, I don't know about the website. But
yeah, the only way you can buy one is if you've got a crooked official working for you
that's
got to hold them. So.
Yeah. And I am the only one in possession of the seals.
Oh, that's cool.
And I don't think I'm crooked.
So you have so you have confidence it's really sealed?
Yes.
Okay.
As much as you can.
Seal it
in
three places, I've also heard, is a better idea than just two.
We seal it. With a motorcycle, it's completely different because you can seal it in one place. And it's because there's not an oil pan that you can take everything out of the bottom or anything like that. There's one place, taking that head off, that you can get to the valves and the pistons and everything and split it apart. So you seal it in that one place. You cannot take that engine apart without cutting that seal.
But does a sealed engine make that much difference on dirt? Where there's so many other variables involved that
I want to ask a question that's almost
question.
Adding on the
that's
same thing.
That's a good question.
Yeah,
okay.
The same thing. If you unsealed it and they could do anything they wanted to, would they progress past 10, 11, 12,000 RPM? I mean, is that the problem?
The problem is that there is a belief that the more money you put into it, the faster it becomes. But the sealed engines are running as fast as the engines that are built.
Did you get your question answered?
Not really. Do you run dirt and asphalt, or is the sealed engine thing only for dirt?
Only for dirt right now.
Right,
and
so
actually, it's only in a couple of racetracks right now. We're moving it to the other regions because we have to be, as a sanctioning organization, we have to be confident that the people that are teching are doing it correctly and that the seals are being done by us and us only. And to do that in California, that's tough in Delaware.
Okay, let's shift
that question.
Gears.
Ask that question again real quick.
Okay, the question was, you know, you guys race a lot of dirt where there's so many other variables, tire, track, driver, that make a car fast or slow. Do you feel like the sealed engine makes that much of a difference on dirt?
No.
Okay.
I'd like to reverse that question. Does the built engine make that much difference on dirt? And that's where the difference is. The sealed engine is just as fast as the built engine. So it's money-wise, it's better to have the sealed engine than the one that's all built because they're going just as fast.
Okay, let's shift gears here first, go in a different direction. You run a racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about where this whole deal stock car racing is as an industry, as from that perspective.
In Delaware.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get to start
until
May.
You travel.
I do travel, and I've done a lot of different racetracks. We do things different at Delmarva Motorsports Park. We do not pay a purse. Everything is trophied. We've got six different divisions. The people that do get a purse are 100% payback. They pay a $25 entry fee. We pay half the field back. That's the money that's paid as a purse in three different divisions, 600 micro sprints, 270 micro sprints, and our TUSA mod lights, which is the top division of the modified lights. If you have 10 cars, you're going to take about $100, $120 home.
Why did you do things that way? Why do you do things that way?
Because I think the more purse you pay, the more money you lose.
Do you guys, there's some tracks here in Florida that don't worry about spectators. Do you guys try to attract spectators?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very
and
good,
I'm glad
Rex.
You brought
Very
that
good.
Up because scale car racing has always suffered on a spectator situation because, again, there's a stigma that that's a cute little car and that they don't race that well. At our racetrack, our average car our average crowd count when we took it over was 23.
Hold it just one second. Bill, it's time for a commercial. All-star.
23.
All-star.
23.
All-star, Bill. It's time for a commercial.
Our sponsor.
All-star.
Oh, Fastlane, the sports authority and the collectibles gurus are in the house.
Very good.
She's a great gal, too.
Oh, man. Oh, she's like all over the place. I don't know how. He just sits around and holds the money, but she's running back and forth and all around. She's putting things on hangers, hanging up.
Do you blame him?
Open trailers, going back, putting tables together, wiping them down. She does a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you sit right there. How you doing, ma'am?
I'm feeling the love now. I got a microphone and everything.
There
Hi, guys.
You go.
Hey.
Nice to be back.
Trust
Great
me.
To have you
trust
back.
Me. The entire show just jumped a few notches because we've been really working hard at trying to beat ourselves up.
We just got 80 more viewers.
All right. And that's what I like to hear. You know, that's my family all logging on. I just called them on the bike on the way up. I'm like, okay, I'm on the show now.
Now.
We had two guys from Indianapolis that called home, and there must be 12 people already logged on because they're.
We were talking about motors, but now we want to know what's your sign.
I'm feeling terrible here.
Motors. Now, you know, my husband married me not because I could cook. There's kind of a funny story. My husband, Greg, used to have Gambler of Illinois, sprint car chassis business. And I most impressed him because I knew tire compounds and gear ratios. Now, am I like the perfect racing wife or what?
Can you back up a trailer?
There are guys looking for your number right now.
I can drive a big truck and trailer. I go really, really, really good forward. Takes me a little time to go backwards, but I go like heck going forwards.
I tell you, racers would overlook a lot in a woman who can back up a trailer.
Yeah.
I think.
I can get there. Takes me a couple of tries.
That's a whole new.
She makes up
when her husband
she
says,
makes up on
up,
that
baby.
By selling T-shirts. I mean, yeah. this is the T-shirt guru.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we
make them. We design them. They got people, and she's got. What's really cool is she's a real good business lady because she doesn't do all the work. She has people who does the designing,
right.
People who do the printing, people who do this and that, and she puts it all together, and bingo, you got a fantastic shirt for your event.
Yep. I have learned well to subcontract the work. You know, the epitome of a line manager in a factory. I get to walk around with the stick and be the boss.
So cool. How's sales going in the pits again?
You know, I can honestly say that I have never been to a place that I can say, gosh, I sold too much, I want to stop. So with that being said, I haven't sold enough that I want to quit. But,
okay.
You know, and everybody's talking about the economy. You know, the guy that's working 40 hours a week is still getting the same paycheck, and the fuel prices are down. I know the Mod Lights brought a tremendous car count with them this year. And all my northern friends are spending money buying shirts. They love it, you know. They like the quality of
Everybody
it.
Everybody wants to remember East Bay Raceway
they
being
do,
able to
they
race
do.
Here. So.
You know, so I think all that being said, we produce a really good quality product. People come back year after year. And
they're buying all the sweatshirts to go back north.
That's right.
This wasn't
it's
my
what,
first
honey?
Rodeo.
It's
yeah.
17. You're shoveling. I'll let you go then because I'm going to go outside and take my jacket off because it's 65
Absolutely.
Degrees.
Yeah, I had a phone call earlier today. They said, oh, it's raining in Tampa. Darn the bad weather. And I said, you know what, though? We don't have to shovel that rain.
Right. Yeah, it's going to move away, too.
Exactly.
You're
going to go away
rain,
and dry
you're
up.
In the wrong place.
So, have you guys talked about what a great show the Mod Lights put on and the Crate Late Models? Have I missed all that?
No, only that I was going to get to that if I got a chance about the guys that were here talking to me earlier, which were Tim Van Gundy and Mr. Kenny Gross.
And
they were talking about the winner went up to the wall and was running the wall, so he ran an extra 8 miles compared to everybody else, but that they thought they might need to move up. And I hadn't gone down. I'm going to go to their pits and talk to them about the tides and understanding where they're at. But it seems that they were all over the track. There must have been like four lanes of
racing.
There
were. Last night there were four different lanes, distinct lanes. And what happened was the leader got down on the bottom, and the guy that was running second got up on top, and he got the momentum. The guy on the bottom could catch him in the corners, but the straightaway, that flag stand is in the middle of the straightaway. So he's got the momentum, and that's how he won the race, by getting up on top.
Wow.
I tell you, the Mod Lights and the Classics, and I'm still kind of a newbie with Mod Lights and classic racing because we don't have a lot of that in the part of the country where I'm from. Put on an excellent show, nice and competitive. I mean, I think any guy can go out there and win it at any time. There's a lot of young talent in there as well with some of the veterans. But if you get a chance to go watch a Mod Light / classic race, you should do it with TUSA, Team
United Sanctioning Association.
Yes, yes. Awesome group of people all the way from Buck to Walt, and all their drivers, all their tech guys are just great people to work with.
Well, we were talking about that earlier because they go through a name recognition problem because down here for the longest time they were called dwarf cars, had the 600, the 850s or whatever. Yeah. cc engines in them, and now they've gone to these bigger 5.8s, you know, modified style with a 1,000-1,200 cc motors. I can't wait till we get the 1500s and the 1800s.
And we're working
there.
Hard to keep that
but,
out.
I would imagine
we really are. The Hayabusa's come up with, you know, a couple of people want to do the Hayabusa. We've outlawed the Hayabusa. It's just too much engine for that car.
That was my question. Is it going to be too powerful for the size of the car
Absolutely.
That you have?
Yeah, that's the one thing these guys were saying was we just couldn't get the power to the ground because it's spinning so fast that it just turns the tires and spins them.
I like it because it's competitive, and the same can be said for the crate late models, too. I mean, you've got a nice competitive field. You're not going to have one guy that can go out and outclass the field because he spends gazillions of dollars on his motor because it's not going to do any good.
Well, where have you heard that before?
I don't know. it sounds new to me. No. Quick question. You're almost into the end of the Winter Nationals. You're 18th or whatever, 100th, and tell me which class of racers were the biggest pains in the butts?
Oh, gosh, nobody. Because, you know, I'm usually not politically correct. But I'm a very outspoken.
She's a good businesswoman.
Yeah. The biggest seller is probably our late models, simply because we have the largest crowd at the late model races.
Talk about the late model shirt that has all the winners, past winners on it and stuff.
Yes. If you do it based on that is our largest selling. But believe it or not, if you do it percentage-wise, they're all very, very equal based on the car counts and the crowd. It's all very, very relative.
I want one of them bright lime green ones. I think that's pretty cool.
I just love coming to East Bay. You know, with 33 years of history, we've had 33 years of sprint cars here, 32 years of late models. We've had 6 years, I believe, now of mod lights. This is the third for the crate late models. And this was our 11th for the modifieds this year. And, you know, what a great place to come and be a part of it. And if you folks listening and watching, can they watch me? I know they're listening. Can they
they're
watch?
They're listening. If they were watching, we would never be on the air.
Oh. Well, I'm glad they can't watch because I'm sitting here. I just have on my underwear and a T-shirt. No, just kidding.
It's awesome.
It's
awesome.
You know, now you know why we love doing this show.
Yeah. Why I haven't been talking for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's kind of like, gosh, do you guys go to work in your pajamas? No, I don't wear my underwear. Anyway, I lost all train of thought there. I'm really sorry, guys.
So did I.
Got another cell phone going off.
The cell phone's back.
Well, I know that mod lights are taking off. Now, I don't know if even you've thought about down the road, and you know you want to grow the business, so to speak, and get more and more mod lights, but do you even want to get into being a Legends size series where there are that many cars and that many people you got to get involved? Because you'd have to have more buck kind of people to be able to do it in different regions.
Right, and that's why we've gone to the regions instead of a national situation. We actually sanction over 200 racetracks. And but the problem, just like Legends, we're down to like two builders of these cars.
Is that because you won't let just anybody build one?
Think it's a couple of things. Number one, they last so long, and we keep the rules consistent so they don't change constantly, so you don't have to change cars constantly and update that car, which is something like the Legends have done also.
They don't want you in NASCAR then. If you're not letting them change rules all the time, you'd be bad for NASCAR.
Now you got to change at least one rule a week in the middle of the show.
It depends on what track.
Yeah.
Hey, has Buck told you what his second job is? Has he elaborated on that at all?
Jack kind of started giving it away, but
no. Buck is a published author, and I've had the privilege of reading his book called White House Deception. And you know, he's such a.
No, this has nothing to do with racing.
No.
Okay.
But he seems like such a really straightforward, calm guy. You read his books and you think, wow, what a twisted mind.
Did you do any military time?
Yes, I did. 17 years.
I had a feeling. I did my share.
I did mine, too.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful East Bay underwear you have on, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I do appreciate the plug and the checks in the mail, babe.
Yeah. Fast, late. Amazon.com?
Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or BobBuckholz.com.
Yeah. Cool. BobBuckholz.com.
Yeah. I'm an avid reader. I read racing books, fiction, nonfiction, and couple years ago, Buck gave me one of his books, and I was like, you know, it was kind of cool to sit and read a book that you actually knew the author.
Right.
I thought that was, and to know his background, it was really interesting.
We should make a segment for our next show. We'll call you up wherever you're at in the country at that point and talk to you about books for racing, because there are a lot of racing books out there.
Yeah,
a lot of people enjoy that.
Yeah.
Because much of it has to do with history, either the history of the region, the area you're in, and so forth. And Florida's got a few of their own. So, I mean, there's a lot of books out there that people would love to get a hold of to read about.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. And the Hewitt book. I don't know if you guys have ever read the Jack Hewitt
book. Oh, Jack's, yeah.
Awesome book. Brad Doty, the same thing. So.
Got that one. In,
Buck's got to run.
Run, Buck, run.
Oh, run, Buck, run. You're into this Forrest Gump thing, aren't you?
Yeah, I want to make sure you're there, man, because I know that they'll fall apart without you.
Well, these are a great group of guys, and I'll tell you what, this racetrack has got such a super staff. Every time we come up, it's just they do a super job.
We're kind of part of the staff, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
And I appreciate you having me on. I really
no problem. We enjoyed it. We're glad you had time to come. We were afraid you were going to be too busy.
There's a couple of websites. T-USA.org, that is the TUSA website. And then Pro Race Cars, that's one of the cars that we build up in Delaware. ProRaceCars.com is also Mod Light.
Your home track that you run, where's that at?
Delmarva Motorsports Park is in Seaford, Delaware.
MotorsportsPark.com or...?
DelmarvaMotorsportsPark.com. It is a motocross track and a small dirt track for the. We run only scale cars.
Awesome.
Wow.
Have a lot of fun.
All right. Hey, Buck, thanks for bringing your guys down to Florida. We enjoy watching them race.
Well, I sure appreciate you having us. That's
they only
sure.
run for trophies.
not at this one.
No, I know that. Stick around. Have a nice day. Thanks so much, man. We appreciate it. We'll see you around some more.
All right, Buck. Thanks a lot, man.
But. Now, you get to travel and see a lot of that, but are there a lot of tracks out there that still have classes, even just one class that runs for trophies and no money at all?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I don't see that much, no. Not anymore.
I don't know. Do you have a fundamental problem with them running only for trophies, or is it money involved because there's money to get in, you should be paying some money out?
No, I could care less about money. I've raced for free several times. Today over at Zephyr Hills, we paid to go. I have an SCCA license to run SCCA. You pay a couple $100 a weekend. You race like crazy and don't get a penny. It doesn't matter. At the level I'm at, it's all about track time and fun.
Yeah, because I was an SCCA member also, but I was a fire crew member, and that was cool to get to do a lot of things.
Well, I guess I missed the first part of the show. You were, because I was busy selling shirts. I wasn't just, like, doing nothing.
He is involved with several different things.
Today. You were at Zephyr Hills today.
Yeah, I was over at Zephyr Hills with the antiques today.
Okay, I've seen their commercials, and what a neat
show
place.
The picture.
What a neat deal. The old classic vintage cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. They had a great turnout. They run, I was in the midget class, but they have a class for champ cars and sprints and what they call big cars. They had stock cars, almost 40 of them. 40 stock cars of all descriptions from all different eras.
Now, did you restore this midget yourself?
No, I didn't. It's a friend of mine's.
Okay.
He's a friend of mine who just moved back from Florida, Vaughn Rockney. And a very interesting guy. He'll be a very good addition to the racing scene here in Florida. Anyhow, he's back with his push truck, and he brought his midget. And it was very kind of him to give me the chance to run it today.
Well, that's a great opportunity. Now, when they restored this midget, did they use mostly authentic parts? Did they go back and try to find everything like was actually on this midget when it was on the track initially?
You know, there was all kinds. Some of the cars here today were very meticulously restored. They were beautiful. They were finely detailed. Some of them look like they're original from 1955. I mean, they're rusty. They're dented up. Most of them, however, are really quite nice.
Now, where would a person go to find authentic vintage parts?
You go online and start putting in the tile or type of car you got, and you'll find stuff. Because there's all kinds of, even Jack's got a classified section that sometimes parts turn up in for older cars and stuff. And we've got some real diehard racers in Florida that have been here for years that have a lot of old stuff. I mean, racing cars of yesteryear, the Daytona Antique Auto Racing Association, and so forth. I mean, those people keep it alive. But this deal in Zephyr Hills is one of the biggest ones in the country, and it'll draw a bunch of people.
Yeah, they had a huge flea market today with antique and collector car parts, and they have a collector car auction
late
on Saturday.
Lights.
I was there. I walked by the auction site today. They had a big red 59 Cadillac convertible sitting up there. I thought, man, if I had $50,000 to throw away on junk, I'd definitely buy that thing. But
I saw an orange 34 Ford sitting on the side of the road. It's in a special place. In Bradenton today for $34,000 was on the window.
You know, if I didn't have all these kids, we have a senior in college, a junior in college, a junior in high school, and then we have our 10-year-old. You know, I could actually probably buy some of those.
Does she look like she's had four kids?
Cards.
No. No way.
She married into him.
No.
I got 9. I'm wore out. I didn't even have them happen. I mean,
well, you know what? 2 hours are up.
Is it up?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey,
we're
guys,
6 minutes over.
Thanks for having me back. I certainly enjoyed it. And
well, we're sorry we didn't get to
it
earlier. We were hoping
you'd world.
Tell us a little bit about Fastlane Collectible.
Fastlane. We do custom shirts, hats, embroidery apparel. You name it, we can make it. If you need us to do anything custom for your race teams, we'd be more than happy to do it, or your tracks.
Have you got a website yet?
We're working on a website, and our phone number is 618-409-3254 because the guru behind my ad on the on this page didn't put my number. We won't say his name, Bill Green.
Well,
oh, give me a, yeah. Bill Green.
They only gave me so much
Bill
information.
Green. Bill Green.
But
Goober.
But I will make sure our associate adds it as soon as possible.
We'll
awesome.
Get that on there.
Yeah. But thanks for having us. And anything you need of quality, get it at Fastlane. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ken.
Fastlane, the sports authority.
Rex, thanks for being in with us, man. Hey, join us anytime,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, sure.
Rick, I'd like, give me 1 minute.
You got it.
Give it all you want.
We're having a party. We're having a party February 28th. It would be great if you guys could make it. I know there's a couple tracks running that night. Auburndale, DeSoto, Charlotte County have all started their season on the 28th. We're going to do it at Little 500 Go-Kart Track in Orlando. It's the third year we've done it. It's been we get a lot of racers, race fans, officials, Karnak message board type trolls.
Oh, no,
trolls.
Yeah, the Little 500. Yeah. That's where Rick Bristol did his special
every
year.
He did.
How about –
Rick?
Go ahead. No,
no,
go
no.
ahead.
Rick used to do a fundraiser, which was very good work, and he helped out a lot of people with it. We're not doing that. We're just having a party. You know, no obligations, just show up and have a good time. We've done it. This will be the third year, and we've had a blast. So
what's it cost to go racing?
It's like $4 or $5 a ticket. If you buy a bunch of them, it's a little bit less.
Right.
You know, just come out with the intention of having of acting like a total juvenile, having all the fun of racing with none of the responsibilities. And, of course, everybody's invited. Everybody's welcome. It's going to be the 28th, Saturday night, Little 500 in Orlando.
I'll definitely
in Orlando.
Put that on my schedule.
It's a blast.
Wow.
Right.
If we're not somewhere else, it'd be like – fun to put on the air.
I'm not going to let you get away without. We need to talk about this for a few minutes before we go. The modified reunion.
Oh, what a day! Wasn't that a superior day?
I want to hear your take on that whole deal. Tell us about from your perspective what that.
I thought
New Smyrna Speedway.
Yeah, I thought it went off without a hitch. It was a week ago last Friday, right?
Yep.
Last
second Friday. Annual modified reunion at New Smyrna Speedway. All the stars from the old days, from the Northeast particularly.
Yeah. Yeah, we had 19 cars, 19 vintage cars
how,
there.
How did you, tell us about the event from your perspective.
Oh, I thought it was great. I was, you know, it was put on by Jerry Benner and Carol Wicks, and I've assisted them over the years. I do the website, and I was just there to assist them all day long at the event. As it turned out, I had very little to do because things went so smoothly. You know, we had 19 vintage cars. We had several dozen veteran drivers from all around the country. And I can't tell you of a single problem. Everything seemed to go so smooth. They all had a great time. I know you guys were set up at doing interviews and videotaping the interviews.
And that's all up now, isn't it, Jack, for people?
No, the show will be it's not completely edited yet. There was a lot of editing to do because it was we taped for a long time, and there was interruptions during the racing, you know, because there's cars out on the track and so forth. So we're editing that. It probably will be up. The audio will be up within a day or two. And next week we'll have some clips, video clips, and videos will be available on Real Racing USA of the event.
I thought it was a great gathering of the clan because I'm telling you, the Northeast Modifieds were not really my scene. I grew up, I spent most of my life in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I know who those guys are, but the fact is there were so many friends from Florida who came up to that event, and I got to hang out with people I don't get to hang out all the time. It was just great. I had a super day. And then the races, as it turned out, I thought New Smyrna had the best night of racing I'd ever seen there.
Everyone said that.
With a single best race I've ever seen at New Smyrna.
Yeah.
It was all a very, very satisfying day and night at the races.
Cool.
What was really surprising, I didn't get to make it, but all the feedback I got was how supportive the track was of the whole thing.
You know, they really were. There were a few glitches last year. Nothing major, a few glitches. I think they didn't realize how successful it would be and how popular it would be. And now they were really on board, and things went smoothly.
They were much more – they learned to be appreciative of it, and they're already looking forward to next year. So.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
And that states volumes for New Smyrna because they changed hands in the middle of that. Last year it was somebody different at the helm, so to speak, and now they are under new guidance, and it's nice that they joined in and took care of it, too.
Hear that noise?
That's somebody's cell phone doing that.
Get off your cell phone!
Oh, sorry.
I'll go out there and tackle him. Point him out.
Yeah. Anyway, we appreciate you taking time with us, and we hope you do it in the future, man. Come on by and talk to us when we're
going
to be
in
here
pleasure.
Once a month, we hope, and then maybe a few other places along the way.
I'm serious about getting them electric cars together with those guys. And
yeah, that'd be fun.
And
we'd, even if we just show them off.
Not to race, but just to do
right
a show.
Here, I don't know how many are in this area, but we come back next month for another show here. Bring them in. We'll set them out here and show people off on a race night or
something. There are a few in Tampa, and there's four or five in Titusville. So who knows? It could happen.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
Rex Hollinger, thank you very much, man.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Thanks again, Rex. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Rick. It's been fun again. I'm sorry I'm
the Hall of Fame Cafe. The food is great.
The food is fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. Come to East Bay Raceway Park.
If you want an East Bay Raceway Park 2009 Winter Nationals T-shirt from any of the classes that ran, talk to the folks at Fast Lane, the Sports Authority. They are the ones that get it done around here, and they are the ones who got it done to get us here. We appreciate them so very much. But we appreciate you, the listeners and the fans.
Jack, I got to admit, I'm really disappointed about one thing.
What's that?
I thought you lured me here to give me, like, Driver of the Year or Driver of the Century or something, and I didn't get it. Unless it's coming up and I don't know about
it. We've been talking about a fan of the decade, so hang in there. You got a few more years.
He was buying a plaque, but the check bounced.
Hey, what do you think? Your guy, Richie Smith, the guy you were one who suggested him.
Oh, I'm totally patting myself on the back.
Hildebrand Jewelers Inside Florida Racing Driver of the month for January. And, of course, the Hildebrand Jewelers is this year's sponsor of the Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Year.
Is that closer to home?
No, it's from Indiana. It's
away. So yeah. They heard about our
But they're much
great
more.
Deal.
They are really, 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 really into racing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have some more. I like the ring. It was a very nice ring. But I thought it could have more of a design that was more racing oriented.
Yes. The new one. I understand that.
That's cool.
I am Rick Angies, along with Bill Green, Jack Smith, the Bone Man, Rex Hollinger. We want to thank you all for coming back.
And he is the Bone Man. I want to identify him so that people know. He is the Bone Man on Carnac.com.
At the Hall of Fame Cafe next month for another edition of Real Racing USA
Live.
Good night now.
Love you.